marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Plain City Council work session of Wednesday, December 9, 2009, is called to order at 3:30 p.m. And we'll start with roll call. City Recorder Luana Damabow.
City Attorney Jeremy Green.
Mayor Kitty Shields.
Councilor Barbara Hedges.
Councilor Don Mullaney.
Councilor Douglas Ward.
Administrative Assistant Patty Morgan.
All staff and City Council are present. We have a quorum, so we'll continue on. And Phil, you have an introduction to make for us, please.
I just wanted to introduce Eric King, City Manager of Ben, this is Douglas Ward, Barbara Hedges, Kitty Shields, Jeremy Green, and Luana Damabow. And thank you for coming.
Sure.
That's glad you're
here.
You're right, it's my turn. So that is the next item on our agenda, the presentation and discussion with Eric King, City Manager for the City of Bend. And if you would like to pull your chair up to the table with us here.
Well, I guess the information that I got was just that you're interested in understanding what the relationship is like between a city manager and council, and how I manage the relationship between myself and council members, and kind of the role of the city manager. And I really don't have a formal presentation or anything. I just wanted to answer questions and really get out the information that you're looking for, because I'm not quite sure where you're at. Trying to decide what the role of a city manager might look like for Lapine. I know, and there's been some history. So maybe if you guys could tell me a little before I sort of launch into, you know, how I sort of see the job of a city manager. If I can kind of get a sense of where you're at, that would sort of help me.
Okay. Well, a big part of what this is about is the fact that we are still a startup city, and we know that we have a lot of things that we still need to get in place, policies, procedures, and such that help the city run. And we're not sure if it is a manager or an administrator, which is, sort of pretty much the same thing, I understand, or if we would need a consultant, or just exactly what it is that we need to do. And so we thought maybe an existing city manager could help give us some insight into what kind of assistance maybe an experienced city manager could give, if in fact that is what we might be able to expect from a city manager. No one knows how to start up a city.
Yeah, I mean, you're in a unique situation, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I look at my job in sort of four parts. I'll kind of go through each of those. Probably the most important is managing the relationship with council. You usually have one employee for every seven staff. You know, the ratio is like a one. It's reverse for this. You've got seven or five, in this case, bosses. And so it's really important that you understand, you know, their issues, their styles, and because you are the liaison. I mean, you're there to take information and present it to council. So it really helps to put some structure into the decisions that council has to make. That's your job. I mean, that's a big part of what I do, is I take all the information from our police, fire, public works, community development, you know, all the business of the city, and sort of distill it down into, you know, what's the decision that council, before council, and how can we best articulate that? Because council, they're volunteers. They have to make very important decisions with a limited amount of information, a limited amount of time. So my job is to help them, you know, make those good decisions. So I see sort of the primary role of a city manager is doing that. The other part is being kind of an ombudsman for those citizens that, you know, might feel frustrated and want to solve a problem. You know, a lot of times, yeah, they'll come to council, but there's just too many issues for all of that to go to council. So, you know, somebody that might, have an issue with traffic safety and doesn't feel that they've been successful in working that through at a staff level, you know, it comes to me, and I can kind of, I tend to take a more objective view about, here's the citizen's concern, or concern from a developer, or whoever it might be, and here's where staff is at. I kind of look at and almost sort of play that arbitrator sort of role in helping make decisions. And in some cases, it also means going to council and getting some guidance there. Third is really managing kind of the external relationships. And I do that with council, but there's a lot that the city manager does to, you know, get out into the community and work with the school district or with the county or with the parks district or all those partner agencies, the chamber, etc. So a lot of my time is spent just building and maintaining those relationships. And then the last piece is really just meaning the fourth is the day-to-day management of the city, which is I've got 14 direct reports in my case where I have department heads that are reporting to me, and I'm helping them craft guiding them on decisions or policy direction, etc. So that's sort of a broad outline of what I do. I'm happy to talk about any one of those pieces in more detail, and I think that's pretty consistent with most city managers. I think what I outlined is a pretty comprehensive with most city managers, whether it's a new city or a mature existing city. I think you're going to find those are kind of the big elements of what a city manager does.
So, how would you consider manager experience to be something that could prepare a person to help a city, a new city set up? I mean, obviously, like you said, you're the one who oversees all these departments. Mm-hmm. That suggests that you have to know a certain amount.
I think in your case, because you don't have a large staff that you're managing, that has, you're looking for someone that has a jack of all trades that really, because I'm not an expert in, sewer or an expert in, I've never run law enforcement or in fire, and so I rely on my department heads to be the content experts in that area. And so you're in a unique situation where you need somebody that, I'm not sure all the services that you're trying to provide, what if you're looking for somebody that has some expertise in one area, I think you should sort of go through a process to say, this is really, we need somebody with a skill set that's focused in X, Y, or Z. That's really where the need is, and you sort of start from there, and you look for a generalist. I mean, that's really what a city manager is not going to be, that's in that field, that profession. You typically find folks that come up through the ranks as an assistant to the city manager or an intern or sort of a management program. They're kind of on a management track. I'm actually somebody that came into the profession in sort of a non-traditional way. Sometimes you'll find folks that have experience in local government and maybe in one area and kind of rose through the ranks in terms of a management level. But there's the International City Managers Association, that's an organization, ICMA, that I would definitely advise that you kind of tap into and help get. They're a great resource in putting together job descriptions for communities, and they have a consulting firm that can actually work with you, similar to the League, but I think maybe even a little more focused than the League of Oregon Cities in helping you, decide what your, or helping you customize, a job announcement, maybe even a recruitment process. And there's consultants out there too that do that. If that's what you're looking for, that they can actually work with council and go through kind of a brainstorming exercise of, what's the ideal candidate look like, and so that you can really focus in on attracting somebody that's going to fit your needs.
What's the name of that again?
It's ICMA. It's called International City Managers Association. Okay. And they just have a website that says icma.org or zip.com.org.
So I think that what we have our problem trying to wrap our head around is the policymaking role and the administrative role. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it is blurry, and that's what the city manager does, is that it helps to propose policy to council, but council's ultimately making that decision, making those policy level decisions, where the city manager is, running the day-to-day kind of operations and helping, as I said earlier, provide the structure and organization to council to help make those policy decisions. I mean, it's hard to just, out of the blue, just throw council something without there being vetted at a staff level. And that's sort of the value that you have with an administrator or managers, that, you know, somebody to, you know, look at best practices, look at what other communities are doing, you know, take the time to do some research, provide some analysis, some data, so that all that information is then presented to council. Because it's very hard as volunteers to be, you know, playing a dual role of trying to digest a pretty big topic, and you know, you're all kind of coming at it from different angles. Mm-hmm. And so kind of what the city manager or administrator can do is kind of incorporate that breath and sort of distill it and say, here are the issues, and you know, here are some decision points and some pros and cons, and here you go, council. You know, you kind of feed them and helps give them, again, the organization that they would need to make good decisions, so it's not so chaotic. You know, it can be a little chaotic, I think, if you're trying to, without there being somebody to kind of manage that. I mean, that's true, not just of government, but of a nonprofit or any organization you want to set it.
Then does the manager also typically make a recommendation to them?
And then, yeah, a recommendation is usually part of that. And we can give you copies of, we have an issue summary that we, you know, staff provides that goes to council. Mm-hmm. That does just what I'm talking about. It kind of says, here's some background information, you know, here's the action that we're requesting of council, and here's some decision points and some pros and cons, and here's the staff recommendation. We think you should go here. And then that's presented to council ahead of time, and it's part of their packet, and then at the council meetings, then there's usually a presentation that accompanies that issue summary from the staff. So in this case, it would be the manager making a presentation, but you've got backup documentation that outlines the issues, and then you know, a decision is made from council.
I think a practical example that we could use would be the first in 97. That's our, I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's been labeled as a failing intersection and then not failing intersection. Anyway, it's one of the biggest issues that the city's facing. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we had a city manager, that they could, like, let's say Doug goes to the co-op meetings. Uh-huh. And the ODOT.
Yeah.
And we go to the traffic calming meeting. Me and Barbara go to the traffic calming meeting. And I think the other staff goes to other meetings that have a piece of that. But so then the city manager could put those pieces together and get one direction or another.
Right. But a lot of times you'll have council members, you may be divide and conquer, where you'll have city manager will help to organize council so that, you know, this person is sort of a transportation, this person is kind of more of a land use, and so that you might tag team and have, because sometimes it's more appropriate to have an elected official represent the city than it is a staff person. But you need good cooperation between the staff and the council to do that, because the job of the staff is to then inform council about the issues, as you said, kind of keep track of it, so that some issues have a lot of moving parts and a lot of meetings. So you might have that same elected official try to, and that's why I encourage folks, sometimes it doesn't work all that way, you know, to have three people and to try to coordinate, it gets a little inefficient that way. But if you have a manager, you can increase your efficiency by, you know, trying to divide and conquer amongst council members based on their interests and their areas of expertise, and you help really prep them for those meetings and help them to be an active participant and give them the content knowledge that they might need to further your agenda, whatever your
right.
issue might be.
Okay, three real easy questions for you. Number one, my definition of a city manager is a person who manages the needs and duties of the city. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Basically. How do you feel between having a city manager compared to a city recorder / administrator?
Well, you know, I don't know. Typically, a city administrator is for a strong mayor form of government. That's technically, you know, where you have a city administrator, which functions similar to a city manager, where they're doing just, you know, running the day-to-day operations of the city, etc. So the difference is that they've got a mayor that is usually compensated at a higher, or and maybe has an office at City Hall. So for, I think, Sisters and Madras, they both have city administrators because their mayors tend to be a little more active in some of the decisions. But it's still basically a council-manager form of government. So I don't see it, but they act very much like a city manager. So there's not a huge difference between a city administrator and a city manager, I guess.
At what time in the building of a city, which is what we're doing, mm-hmm. does it become necessary to hire a city manager? Right now, we don't have any departments. Mm-hmm. We don't have any districts. All we have is a snow plow program for the city, so you can call it. Right now, today, we probably don't need a city manager.
Yeah.
In your opinion, at what point, and at how much workload that we end up with, do we need one?
Yeah, I don't know enough about your own situation here to be able to sort of say definitively you need one or you don't. I mean, I think you need to kind of go through that process collectively. You know, I think that council should be unified in their desire to have a city manager, and it should be really clear about what that person's role, because you want to set them up for success. You don't want to bring somebody in and there's a divide about whether they should even be here or not. I think that I think you wouldn't really attract any candidates if you had that, because they would figure that out. That's one of the things that city managers look for, is that they see a council that's not working well, there's been, you know, a lot of chaos.
I don't think the question is, do we need a city manager? I think the question is, when do we need a city manager?
You're in a very unique situation. I don't know of a lot of cities that are brand new like Lapine is, and so what is the exact right point? I don't know. I wish, I'm not an expert in that area, so I don't feel like I'm qualified to answer that question, but I would just say that should be something that you collectively decide as a council, that you come to the conclusion that that's something that you need, and that you'll, maybe that you're not, it's one of those things where you might not all support it. Maybe some are lukewarm and some are, once the decision's made, I think, you know, you should get a commitment from the entire council that we're going to move forward in that direction, whatever direction you decide. That's, I guess, that would be my advice.
Doug, did you get through all of your questions?
I might have a couple of minutes.
Okay. What we're trying to determine here is exactly what type of person we need to help us finish getting the city set up, mm-hmm. the nuts and bolts. And so part of the question is that something that we could or even should expect of a manager? And I know it's a difficult question, because how often does this happen? we don't even know exactly what it is that we're missing.
Yeah, and I guess that was my question.
Who's going to help us figure out what we're missing?
Yeah.
The CCMA Range Rider Program.
This is Courtney Steen. She's the assistant to the city manager, works for me. And she kind of came up through other ranks as a management intern, and her education has been geared towards city management. So she's a great resource. I thought it would be good for her to come along too. And she just told me she mentioned OCCMA, the Oregon City County Managers Association, member of. Courtney's on the, you're on the board now. There's a range rider program. And the range rider for Central Oregon. So range rider is the retired city managers that go out and go to communities just like Lapine and can kind of help you. You know, maybe they can help do that needs assessment for you, mm-hmm. and really go through a detailed process of identifying what your needs are and helping you make that decision.
Why didn't we think of that before? They have helped us.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah. Okay.
The current range riders for Central Oregon is Roger.
Jordan,
yes. Thank you, Roger Jordan.
By the way, Courtney, thank you for being here, pulling your chair on up.
Yes, this is a
work session. Anyone else? Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because Like I said, we should have even thought of it because we had...
Yeah, OCCMA, the League of Oregon Cities, ICMA, those are all organizations that you that can help you
right.
make this decision.
Well, and we do have help from League of Oregon Cities, and in fact, they helped us immensely with
right.
getting to the ballot and all the steps that you need to take there to form a city, and then boom. They don't know where to go from there.
Yeah,
there's no
it's kind of uncharted territory. Yeah.
Yes.
If we look, if we start looking for a city manager, what kind of qualifications are we looking at for the individual as far as, let's say, age, education, experience, whatever? What are we looking for?
Don't answer it as far as age.
Mm-mm.
No response to that. I'm being facetious,
yeah.
but...
Sure, I think what you...
Don't pick on old people.
I think what you really need in your case is you need somebody that's nimble, that's flexible, that is yeah. that's going to... I think that's more important than, than any kind of... somebody that has 30 years of experience doing, I think you're going to need somebody that can kind of just hit the ground running and be a can-do person. That's probably the most important.
Don't you have, in your particular case, some kind of educational background?
I mean, traditionally, yeah, I've got a master's. Actually, again, I didn't set out to be a city manager, so I'm kind of stumbled upon this career. So I'm a little biased, and I don't always think the traditional path of this, doing the... getting your master's in public administration and doing the assistant two and kind of working your way up is, that's one path. I have a master's in planning. But I never was a practicing planner. I actually got a master's in real estate development as well because I was interested in kind of how you make things happen on the other side, not just regulating development. And then I worked in local government, mainly in kind of doing citizen involvement work. And then I was in Portland working in the mayor's office, kind of managing special projects and did some economic development. So I have a smattering of kind of experience in local government, but then kind of been at a management sort of level and then came to Bend as the assistant city manager, was in the position for 6 months and they had fired the city manager and asked me to step in as the interim. And did that, and then applied for the permanent position. So it wasn't a sought after. I didn't, So you have that though with this profession as sort of the career city manager folks. But then you have a lot of other folks that are, working local government, know local government issues, that might necessarily be on a city manager track, and it worked fine. Prineville just hired a city manager, and they're a town of about 10,000, and they hired somebody with no city management background. He was a manager of a lumber mill, but it was from Prineville, and he knew the area, knows the people, and that was a high value that Prineville placed a high value on that. So you don't always I'm probably going against the grain a little bit in the profession because I think there's a lot of folks that are in the profession saying you've got to have all these sort of credentials to be in it. I'm probably a little bit different. I mean, I that's my philosophy. You don't necessarily need to pick somebody that's this career city manager. I think sometimes you can find there's a good fit without having all that background. So.
Respectfully disagree.
Yeah, Courtney probably disagrees because she has more of that, that training. So.
Where do we look?
Before you want to offer your perspective, I just kind of give them mine.
Well, I mean, typically, depending on the size of the city, you look for someone with a bachelor's degree in something and 5 years' experience in government, or you look for somebody with a bachelor's and maybe some master's work in public administration. What we find when you're an assistant to the city manager and sort of we're starting to grow our career type period, a lot of the city manager positions are for people with a master's degree and 10 years experience. So I think for towns and cities that are smaller, there's a big pool of people that they could tap into who maybe don't have that 10 years but have the maybe 5 years of experience who may be able to provide that flexible nimbleness without being at that 10 year, because the salary gets higher as you get more
right.
years of experience
right.
too. So the younger generation of ICMA members are cheap labor, basically.
Okay.
Doug has taken my questions, but I have others.
I'm sorry.
You should mind read.
Yes, ma'am.
We have a fire department, we have the sheriff's department, but I see no information coming into the council from any of this. I'm strongly for a city manager. I want to get information, but I have the feeling, like you do, that there should be some background, some law and planning and all of this. Mm-hmm. So would you be able to work, not you, but a city manager work with the fire department and the sheriff's department?
Yeah, I should qualify what I said a little earlier. I think I didn't come from a traditional background, but I have 12 years experience in local government, and even though it wasn't on the city manager track, I think that you should try to get somebody that has some experience in local government. I don't know. I mean, Prineville's situation was somewhat unique, where they picked somebody that didn't have any local government experience, but was a manager, and you know, he's struggling to understand sort of all the lingo and the dynamics within city government. So it's a much steeper learning curve for that with that. But I think you should, you know, definitely get somebody that's had some experience working in local government, and after you go through a needs analysis, if you want to get somebody who's a planner who knows kind of land use and transportation, if that's really where the need is, you know, that's, you should get somebody that has been had some exposure to that, you know, because I don't think you really need, you don't have any staff, so
we don't have
any major
departments. We have a city recorder department, and that's it.
And so it's, I don't, you know, ideally you want both. You want a good manager that can manage people, and you know, somebody that knows something about the areas that you care about, whether it's transportation, land use, etc. I mean, that seems like what I just heard from what Adele said about what your major issue. I mean, you should go through a process. Here's our major issues, mm-hmm. and this is the added value that if we had somebody, we could really move forward on this issue or that issue. That, and then that should help. That'll help determine what kind of qualifications, you know, you're looking for.
So we don't have departments in the city, but we have departments out there that we need to work with,
right,
and get information from.
And they should at least know enough about them to know how to speak to the sheriff's
right.
office and know how to, you know, work with the, you know, they need to know enough, you know, enough of the terminology, enough about how sort of government works, about how decisions are made, about how everything is public, you know, that there's, you know, transparency to everything you do, etc.
And I would go a step further, because you're a starting city. I would pick someone or look for someone with experience in Oregon, just because Oregon laws are so unique.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
We definitely are. But see, I have no idea how many paid firemen we have, if we have any, or who are volunteers. And these are things that I would like to know in order to work in the city. There was another one I had here too. How do you work with the attorney for the city?
And Ben, we have an in-house counsel. We did have a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And usually for cities of this size, you're going to have contracted legal services. There's just not enough to, you know, warrant having somebody in-house. But in Ben's case, the city attorney, just, you know, like you have here, when it comes to our council meetings and helps guide the, not just staff, but also council on making decisions mm-hmm. that are not going to get them in trouble, you mm-hmm. know, and providing the advice that they need to, can't to make good decisions. So they play a dual role. So they advise both staff and council. I would see that this would be no different here than your legal services would. You'd have somebody, the city manager would be working pretty closely with legal and helping them. Again, it's a lot. What we do is we have our legal staff review those issue summaries. So any issue that goes to council, there's a filter that's done through legal and finance. Those are the two filters that every issue goes through before it gets to council.
Also, I think with that, we have to start thinking about moving forward. And moving forward is going to be the considering acquiring the sewer and water district.
Mm-hmm.
So boom, immediately then you would have those two departments or a public works department.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that happening until we have a storm management position within the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that person could help you you know, that's something that you're looking at. I mean, they can be the on the ground, you know, working with those districts to negotiate if you're, I mean, that's a pretty, to me, that would seem like a pretty involved process, and that you'd want somebody on point to be, you know, helping council make the right decision and help identify the terms of working with legal, et cetera. So, I mean, that's some added value that the manager
has. Well, we actually have a citizens group that is looking at that. The citizens are very, have made it clear to us in our town meetings that they want us to move forward to, you know, move forward maybe in a slow, cautious way, but still move. I had a question about, did you ever think that policy and procedures would ever take the place of management, of a city manager or of a management position?
Well, in our, it's hard for me to relate because that wouldn't work for us.
No,
And you need somebody, the policies and procedures are only as good as you have, you know, as they are. Put into practice. I mean, you can put all the policies and procedures you want in place, but somebody's got to be there making sure that they are adhered to. And that's really the job. And if you have, you know, the problem with council kind of doing that is there's always turnover, and so there's a lack of consistency. You know, hopefully you have a manager that's here for a while that can, you know, provide the consistency that you would need to administer those policies and procedures.
And see, that's my big concern is that we don't have policies and procedures in place. And when I say policies and procedures, I say just that because I don't know what kind of policy and procedure we need. My concern is we don't have anything for a manager to manage. We don't have guidelines for a manager. So what kind of guidelines? When you come into a new job as a manager, what do you look for? What do you find to guide you?
Well, you know, in the case of most cities, they have a code, a municipal code that sort of guides, you know, their basic operating procedure, you know, and then there's council policies that council sets, and then there's sort of administrative policies, or so typically council will delegate to the city manager administrator, you know, you take care of all the HR, hiring, firing, that kind of, you know, that stuff. That's delegated, so there's administrative policies that have the authority of the administrator or council members, and then sort of below that, there's operating procedures and things like that happen more at a department level. So there's sort of these different layers when you say policies and procedures.
Okay. Who's the person to help us decide? Do any off the wall anything that you can think of? How do we find the right person to guide us into knowing
developing
just what this little city needs for policy?
Yeah, I think it's working closely with legal too. I mean, I think that's where legal can kind of come in and help you define what it is that you need, you know, because it's reflective of the services that you're offering, and I'm still a little unclear about what, I mean, it sounds like you're trying to do some of this, and you got this issue.
We're not clear. We don't know what we're missing.
So first, that's a starting point to say, here, we know, and you just hear that, that's part of the democratic process. We hear from our citizens that they have these issues, or we have a comprehensive plan that says we want to do this, and we, you know, I'm assuming there's some documents and some processes that you guys have gone through to have a basic understanding of where you're at right now. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a starting point. But you're right, I mean, there could be some things that you haven't thought of, and that could be the role of the managers to help you define that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important if you're going to bring somebody on to at least, because that's going to be part of the recruitment process, you're going to have to tell that person, we've got these things in place and we know these are issues. I mean, they're not going to come here just without, as a complete blank slate. I mean, it is somewhat of a blank slate, but you're going to want somebody to help define the rest of the stuff that you haven't thought about yet, but you should at least put the stuff that you've known.
Well, and it sounds like a chicken and egg kind of situation. But I would say that one of the things that Eric does every year with our city council is sit down and set goals and say, well, what are the things that you'd like to see happen this year? And then you might say, well, we'd like to see the water and sewer district come in, you know, under the city. And then the manager would come back and say, well, these are the steps that we would need to take to do that. And from that, you end up developing those procedures and processes and amendments to codes and things. And whether you determine first that you need the manager to help do that, or what those projects are, do you have enough projects that you would want to hire a manager, is sort of sounds like where you are in the process.
We are. It's
tough. Yeah, and that's something that OCCMA and the range, they actually do goal setting. They did that for Sister City Council. They'll come in and And they will work with, they'll facilitate kind of a little retreat with you and kind of do some goals. So we want to do these five things, and that might be enough for you to then make, that'll help you in making that decision mm-hmm. about a city manager, what they're tasked with. Because as Courtney said, that's really, that's almost kind of like my charge. I've got five goals that council gave me, or four goals. Last year, and that lots of objectives that fall under those goals, but right. That's what they, I have my performance evaluation that's coming up in the next couple of weeks. That's what I'm evaluated on, is how well I did to meet those goals that council set for me.
So if we wanted to get together and work on goals, we're kind of tied, but if we advertised it as a public meeting that we could meet whenever we wanted, is that to develop goals? The council members.
Well, you just need to follow public, you know, meetings law, and you know, advertise right. that you're doing this. But typically, for our goal setting session, it's a council driven process.
Right.
It's not a. It might be, get a little bit. I mean, I think it's important to take public input. You know, maybe you do that prior to the goal. But it really should be a chance for council to kind of come together and say, here's what we think our priorities and our focus should be for the next coming year.
So if we wanted to do that, say, a Saturday afternoon or something.
Yeah, you just need to advertise it.
It.
And people can, and we do that as well. And there's usually a handful of people that sort of come and observe.
Right.
But it's really council's. It's just like a work session. I mean, it's sort of a work session kind of format.
When you became city manager, did the city provide you or give you a pamphlet on what you're supposed to do, what your ethics are, a guideline of what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do? Did they or didn't they?
No, that's not. I mean, there's a generic job description for a city.
But you don't have anything written on a piece of paper that defines your particular job description.
Well, there is. I mean, there is. It's a generic kind of, my job is to do these, and we can provide you, again, ICMA, there's lots of work that has sample, template copies of what a city manager's roles are, and they're, what I basically just talked about, those sort of four, that I distilled it down into those four points that I mentioned earlier. But yeah, there were that said all that stuff, but did I have a little manual that said, you know, do this and do that?
We made a mistake in hiring a city manager with no pamphlet, with no goals, no needs, no direction.
Yeah.
We can't do that again. So that was the purpose of my question. Do we need to write a pamphlet of direction for the city manager?
Yes, and that's what I was sort of talking about earlier. You need to develop a job description.
That's right.
And a job, and that's actually a job announcement, which is a little more general than a job description. The announcement is something that would go in a recruitment brochure that says, here's Lapine, it's this new city, here's the issues and challenges that we face, and this is the role of the city, or this is the emphasis that the city manager needs to have. It gives it a little focus, and that's also going to then tell the candidate that's, oh, okay, this is where they're at, and gee, that looks interesting, or no.
Then you agree in the statement that the city manager works for the will of the council.
Oh yeah, that's the whole premise behind
the council is your boss.
The council is your boss, so that, you know, I've got seven bosses, and so I got one saying this thing and one saying the other. They if they're going to give me direction, they give me direction collectively as a body. So
but they don't individually.
No, they try to, and I say, no, well, you know, we need to go back to council, and, you know, you need to make that decision collectively, and if you've got the majority of the council that feels that we need to be doing this, then fine, I'll do that. So, you know, that's my job, is to, you know, give them all the information, they make the decision, whatever the decision they make. Maybe I personally don't agree with it, but that's the will of the council. I am their employee, so that I go back and I execute.
But they make the decision as a body.
They make it as a body. They're not individuals.
Yeah.
And there's a danger there. I mean, I don't, you know, that can happen. You have some strong individuals that, you know, might, you know, call me up and say, oh, I want to do this. You know, it takes a strong person to then be on the other side to say that you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You gotta go back.
So, Courtney, are you aspiring to be a city manager?
I was just going to suggest that maybe she's considering moving to La Pine because they're so friendly and likable.
So, I'm kidding. I would love to see Courtney.
What kind of work you bring up through the ranks then to get there? Do you, your education, you have a master's in that. Where do you live?
Well, actually, could you tell us a little bit about the master's program for public administration and what kind of it encompassed?
Sure. Basically, it's just a very general overview of administrative law, human resources, infrastructure, government processes and procedures, and then you do an internship typically for a year or 6 months with a city or a county or state, whatever particular part of government you want to go into, and you get to learn about the processes and procedures that occur at a local government level. I think a lot of people who go into master's programs in public administration don't know that cities are an option, and they find out later that it's actually the best place to be because that's where the rubber meets the road. You get to actually see things happen that you started at the beginning and you see it through the end and get to see things happen. So I think a lot of people going into the profession now are going through that MPA, the public administration program, to get to a career in city management.
Right. And I think if you are interested, I know... there's a kind of a young leaders group that's emerging both at the ICMA as well as the OCCMA too, that there's a lot of folks that we know that are kind of in that, similar to Courtney, kind of in that assistant tour role, that are ready to, and this would be a great next step too, so we can definitely help when you're ready to, because I think that's what you really need to do. I mean, you can sort of just cast the net and see what you get, but I think you should sort of tap into the network, the local network here, to help you find the right person, because I think sometimes you're in a unique situation, and I think we can help you sort of find a good fit.
My goal is to have a city manager by the next budget.
Which budget are you on at July? July.
Okay. And so now would be the time to put together our goals and issues and what we want to do to get started. How long would you say it takes?
Well, I went through the recruitment process that Ben did, and they started in earnest in January, February, and I was made permanent in May, so that was like about 3-4 months is about a typical process, I would say.
I want to back up a little bit to Doug's question about the pamphlet, which brings me back to exactly what is it, other than your job description, that tells you how to conduct yourself in certain areas or how staff should conduct themselves in certain areas. And is that where we go back to municipal code, council policies?
Yeah, there's that. I mean, there's the code of ethics. And so, like the ICMA, that profession has a code of ethics. So, if you get somebody that is an ICMA member that's affiliated with that organization, they sort of sign on to a kind of a code of ethics for that profession. Like OCCMA, all the sort of organizations do that guide. It's important. You guys should sort of look at that and see if some of that, you might get some ideas. Because it's when you put that job description, it's sort of here's your knowledge, skills, and abilities, and each of those things are pretty different. So you might want to articulate,
Because, what we want, of course, is for each staff member and each counselor to be clear on what their roles are, what their parameters are, and such. So where do we find that? Is it just in everybody's heads and you're supposed to pass it on to everybody else by osmosis, or what?
Yeah, I think there's lots of job descriptions that are out there that you can use as templates to help guide you in putting that in writing, because I think that is important. I don't think you want to just go out there and say, geez, we kind of need to say, we don't really know what we need, and you need to help to set somebody up for success. You need to define the guideposts a little bit. I just can't tell you what those are. I mean, you need to kind of go through a process, I think, to define that.
So
I think that I went through the process with the fire department when we hired our new chief. Mm-hmm. And they had a couple of panels. They had a technical panel, a community panel, and was the board members, I think, was the last one. And so then the candidates went, and that type of process, don't you think that's a little bit more rounded than for the council just to...
Yeah. If you want to talk about process in terms of how to hire somebody, I think you do want to have at least two or three panels. Yeah, it's definitely a council. And the way that, it takes a variety of different forms. I've seen, like, Redmond just went through a process, and I got to be a participant in helping to select the Redmond city manager. They did a council, was a panel in and of itself, and then they had kind of a community member panel, and then they had a professional panel, like a peer group, and that's the mm-hmm. group that I was on. So other kind of city managers from the regions were set on that. It was like me and the county administrator and sisters and somebody. And then, so it was like five or six. And so you have somebody kind of go through, and then you bring them all together and you kind of debrief. So it's important because you're looking for somebody that's somewhat multidimensional, that's going to work well with council. I mean, just having somebody that's going to work well with council, that's a big part of the job. But as I mentioned in those three other parts of the job, you need someone that's going to work well with the community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fourth is like a staff panel. In this case, you know, I think it's important that the staff that you do have, you know, there's some acceptance mm-hmm. and buy-in to whoever you select. They should be involved in the process in some sort of way. So those are the big elements to include.
Lake of Oregon Cities has a program where they do the advertising and they receive all of the applications. It keeps the council and mm-hmm. the staff outfit,
yeah, right.
which is mm-hmm. what we need to do. And so they would probably set up a group of people to do the interviewing and all.
The league does that. You don't have to use the league.
They'll get that for us.
Yeah, you can. There's lots of private firms. There's consultants that do that, and because I know the league charges for that.
Right.
But so you can get somebody else. It doesn't have to be the league.
I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves in what we're doing here. What we're trying to do is decide who's the person to help us put together what we're missing. Is it in fact a manager? Or, you know.
Another good place to look, just in trying to decide if a manager is what you want, is you could talk to the COGO membership cities, because they all have some form of a city manager administrator, and just ask for their job descriptions for their administrator. I mean, you've got a good pool of professionals just in Central Oregon to look for help from. And then if you do get to the point where you want to go through that process, I'm sure any one of them, just like Eric came down today, would come down and be willing to yep. give their advice and their input on what kind of a candidate you would want.
That's from COGO.
Mm-hmm.
So you can...
Yeah.
Okay. At this point, should we move on to number four? That's Doug, correct?
I think so.
Yeah, the staffing city manager update information, and please take the table and join us. Let's see what Doug came up with in his search for what other cities do and what how they might be able to help us.
I'm the survey guy. Every time we need to know something, I go do a survey. Anyway, this information, everybody has it in front of them. The way I listed it is I listed nine questions that I asked five different cities, all with population sizes right around what we have, ranging from 1,700 down to 1,400. I talked to Pilot Rock, population 1,560, Hepburn, 1,425, Amity, I don't know where that is, 1,670, Lakeside, 1,500, and Depot Bay. And I asked them nine questions. And then, of course, I listed their answers. It's kind of confusing. You have to look at the answer, you have to look at the answer, and then look at the question.
Okay,
because I really got, my fingers got tired on the little machine. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Anyway, I found out two really important things. Out of these five cities that I talked to, only two have a city manager. And they've all been in existence from 1877 and 1973. The three cities that do not have a city manager have what they call a recorder/administrator, which they say is the same thing as a city manager, and I guess it is because they do the same work. Checking with the League of Oregon Cities on cities of
population size of less than 5,000, one in five do not have a city manager. They have their recorder, which actually amounts to the same thing.
It is.
It's the same thing. They all, but all of these cities have one thing that we don't have. They all have departments, public works, sewer, water, streets, park and rec departments, and they have people hired to manage these departments under the authority of the city manager, recorder, slash administrator, under the authority of the city council. Okay? And they don't do these cities like Depot Bay. Very, very interesting. They do not have a property tax. Depot Bay is 1,450 people. They have eight city employees plus four in the office plus the city council. They pay for the whole thing on a city sales tax. And quite frankly, they say they have more money than they do. It's kind of like a transient room tax that stays within the city. And they enacted those laws before the state of Oregon enacted the other law.
Yes,
just like Cannon Beach.
Yeah, cities can actually. Ashland has a food and beverage sales tax.
Yes,
you can do.
You can actually do that. Anyway, I had a long. It took me 3 days to do this to contact everybody, and it's good information for the councilors to read, so that you can get an idea of what these cities are doing. They all say the same thing: you need somebody at some time. At some time in your forming your city, you have to have either a city manager or a city recorder administrator, which is just another word for the same job. When that time comes is when you think you need it based upon the programs that you've got to do. Right now, we don't have any programs, but these cities have all kinds of programs. And they absolutely have to have somebody to run them. It's very simple. I didn't get into salaries or perks or benefits, any of that kind of stuff. I didn't think that was my business to ask, how much money do you make? I didn't think that was appropriate. But I got a lot of really good information. You can read it. I think what we need to do more than anything else is to establish in the next 30 days what programs we're going to have in place at our next budget cycle, which is July 1st. And if we have enough programs in place then to justify a city manager or administrator, then we need to do that. Mm-hmm. We need to put it in the budget, we need to advertise, and we need to have them. But on the other side of the coin, we don't have any programs. There's no need to have somebody to not do anything. So I think it's extremely important that we absolutely define what we're looking at July 1st of next year, insofar as are we going to have, you know, public works and what are we going to have, okay? And does that justify $75,000 in expense for a city manager? And we need to do that right away. We need to do that right away and define that. Because if we're going to look for a city manager, we got to start in February. Mm-hmm. We can't be fooling around in May. We have to start in February if we're going to find the right person. So we need to find out right now, within the next 30 days, are we going to need one? And if the answer is yes, then we'll go get one. If the answer is no, then we don't get one.
We're going to need some special meetings then.
Absolutely.
We're going to need whatever it takes.
That's what we already determined, was that we're having a series of these work sessions until, you know, to decide our next steps in this decision making.
Extras.
And we might have to. Uh-huh.
And as far as a handbook of duties is what I'm going to call it, for lack of anything else, I can call any one of these five cities and have them send us a copy of their rules and regulations for a city manager. So that we at least have a piece of paper that says, well, this is what they're doing. Maybe we should do the same or do different, add to, subtract from, whatever.
Yeah, see, the problem that we have is sometimes it's nobody knows what to do or not to do what their parameters are in their role. So we need to have someone to help define these roles and something that you can refer back to and go, oh yeah, this is...
Well, these cities all have, I'm going to say it again, a rule book, or a policy and procedure, whatever you want to call it, and it all works. So they must be doing something right. So there's no reason why we can't look at what they're doing and use some of it for our own benefit.
Sure, and I think...
And then we can save the money of going out and hiring a consultant to come in and tell us what we need. We can already find out from people who are already doing it.
So is that your next homework assignment that you're taking out?
The definition of my next assignment.
To contact these cities again?
When do we get something to eat? I'm hungry.
So just as soon as we quit talking.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. I'll have that for you at the next council meeting.
We are going to schedule, though, a counselor training, so...
Then that's on the...
Yeah, the wiki. Make sure we don't know our parameters, but we will.
Okay, part of our discussion about the city manager, I think, should include where we're at now. Mm-hmm. And there was something that, an issue that was kind of bothering me a little bit, so I did a little research. And what I found out is that I'm trying to find in the minute where the administrative authority was given to the mayor or to fill that sort of hole. So I went through all of the minutes and I didn't find that at all. What I did find is that there was a statement that we are still a council manager type of government, and that I think in first we had the consultant, and at one point Stu Martinez, who was mayor at the time, said that she was acting as the city administrator. Immediately after she concluded her services, then they hired a city manager. After the city manager, and then we had a mayor step in that role. And I don't think that there was never a consensus of council that that was we're changing. And I think that that is a step that needs to be done or addressed, is to fill that administrative hole. Who is our head administrator?
Right now it's Lorna, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We do
from a staffing standpoint, sure.
Okay, from a staffing standpoint. Joanna, would you like to...
I haven't finished.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So shouldn't have there been a consensus of council that we were going to identify Luana as that administrative role?
Jeremy, would you like to respond?
Well, sure. I don't think we have a choice at this point in time as to who's going to gap fill the areas that we currently don't have addressed. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Luana, and we discussed this when we were trying to put together Luana's job description, we don't have a city manager. Mm-hmm. There are duties and responsibilities that are often performed by the city manager that currently cannot be performed for one or more reasons, and so to the extent possible, Luana is gap-filling and addressing those issues. When she has an area that requires some direction from the city council or me, then we gap-fill. But as far as having a city councilor serve as a city administrator, we're not doing that. That's not the way we're set up.
Right, and I think that that is the appearance of that has happened. And in my further research, I didn't think that it was kind of like a conflict of interest, is that, you know, is the policymaker and then the administrator. I mean, you can't make policy and administer that policy either. It's just...
Nope.
So I think that in our situation now, I think that we have to clearly define the roles. I think that would be our first on the agenda to see what is Luana's authority, so that we can all have a consensus of, yeah, we agree that that's the way the direction we want to go.
Right.
Maybe the range rider for the interim period, or...
Now, I think that's a good idea. Clearly there's some confusion as to the various roles. Part of the objective behind the job description, which was recently submitted and reviewed by the City Council, was to establish that role. You know, again, I've made this comment many, many, many times.
the goals or the duties of the city council is that of policy. You know, you're to establish policy. You're to direct city staff to implement policy. You're not to, in my opinion, there is a separation between generating policy, coming up with policy, and actual implementation. Staff implements policy based on your direction. Wouldn't you agree, Eric? Mm-hmm. And so there shouldn't be, in my opinion, any overlapping. If there is overlapping, then I believe the staff's job becomes very difficult to perform. And it stymies their ability to accomplish your objectives.
Does that sound like what you have learned in your administrative studies?
I think in a perfect world, it's a black and white separation between the two, and I think sometimes there is a lot of gray in there.
Mm-hmm.
To some extent, I go back to the chicken and the egg concept. You know, it sounds like you want to get there, but you don't really have the person that, or the ability to know how to get there without mm-hmm. having that person here, but you can't have them here until you know, you go through that process, and so it's a difficult situation to be in when you want to get to that point.
Do you have a job description or a set of rules that you go by? What am I saying? A job description, I guess, so that you follow it every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, my job description is to do whatever. Your job description is to do whatever council does.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Within the limits of that.
So your duties are to do what he administers to you. Okay.
And so between meetings, if there's anything that comes up that is a policy question, since staff doesn't set policy, mm-hmm. what do you do?
Well, that's as I mentioned earlier, you, as staff, you say, council, we need some direction here. We need you to form a policy on this issue. And then you set it up so that you help introduce the topic. You give some background. You do some research. And then you say, here, council, here's the decision.
Maybe that's an unfair question because we have issues coming up that are immediate that would need some policy because we don't have any policy.
Well, maybe that's not policy. I mean, I think policy is sort of should be broad. It should sort of give you direction. Okay. You may be confusing policy with a decision. I mean,
there's a
difference between policy and just a decision that needs to be made. Should we do this or should we do that?
Mm-hmm.
And that day-to-day kind of stuff, that's what you entrust and you give the authority to that, to your staff, to the city administrator and manager. That they should be making those day-to-day decisions to manage the city and to, basic operations, making sure that the doors stay open.
Down to a real tough decision, something that you've never dealt with before. What do you do?
Well, I mean, it's sort of a lot, as Courtney mentioned, it's kind of blurry. If the decision is, it's a staff decision, but I want to make sure council is okay with it, and they've got my back, that I'm not just making, I might have the authority to make that decision, but I'm just going to make sure there's the political will to make that decision. There's a difference there, and so I might go to council and say, I need your guidance in how I make this decision.
And so how do you do that without effectively having a council meeting?
I do that at a council meeting sometimes.
Okay, what I'm getting at is between meetings, these 2 weeks between meetings, something comes up.
I might call up a council member or two and just to check in, and I might just check in with council members informally. I don't try to do that all that often. I mean, I think that.
Well, I can't imagine it happening very often in an established city.
No, that's why you. I do that for really big stuff, but I can't wait 2 weeks, and I've got to make this. And I have the authority to make the decision. I just want to make sure that I check in with a few council members to, are you okay? I'm kind of thinking that I'm going to do this, and they say, yeah. And I have to make. I'm given the authority to make the decision, so I'll make it. But I just for consult, I'll do that. I'm not required to, but just it's good practice as a city manager to do that.
Because typically that's what we've been doing between meetings. If there's something that comes up, staff will contact the mayor, and the mayor gets us.
I think it seems to be the council is left out. It's more like staff makes the decisions. I'm probably wrong here, but we're in the dark about things that go on between council meetings.
Well, you know, again, that's, you shouldn't be sort of in the day-to-day kind of stuff. You should be kind of setting direction and policy, and, you know, we want to, this is sort of generally, you know, that you maybe want to give me some examples of how, and I can kind of tell you my opinion about whether or not I think it's really a policy thing that council should be involved, or if it's
that we vote on that we don't really have a background in. Mm-hmm.
My cell phone does that today. They have a mind of their own. Open it and close it.
I better stop there because I don't have a good thing. Just things that we vote on at the council meetings.
I know what you're, I kind of support you in that, is that they just appear, that,
And a slight background, and then vote on this, and, like...
Yeah, we don't see it coming down the pike. We don't see it from it's an idea, or it's a problem, and then we see it grow, and then when, by the time it comes here, then we have an idea of which way we want to go. It just appears, so...
That's why I always ask if staff has had time, or if council has had time to review what's on the agenda, and if they have any questions. And we always discuss it, and then I ask if we're ready to take a vote.
Well, Brooklyn's telling you that it's not sufficient, that we want a little bit more.
If it's not sufficient, that's your time to say, before we, we say, no, I'm not ready to vote.
Well, I guess we will then.
Then
we'll
do it.
That's the answer to all of this, the snow plowing and the Kegel Road and the auditor and other things that come up recently, is we don't have the background. And people say, oh, everybody just sits there and votes yes, 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 with nothing else going on. And so you as the city manager would look at this and leave?
I think the issue is quite simple. It's one of communication. City staff, in my opinion, part of the duties of the city staff is to inform the city council, provide them a sufficient amount of information and background regarding items that you need to make a decision on, so that you can make a solid and prudent decision. If you feel that you don't have sufficient information, then you need to voice concern. You need to ask for specific information or question areas of concern. That's, in my opinion, more than appropriate for you. You need to do that, otherwise you're not making prudent decisions. But it is our job, or city staff's job, to equip you with sufficient amount of information to make that decision.
Okay, we're going to work on that with our training.
I think that this is something that we need to talk at or discuss in a work session. Mm-hmm. If there are procedural flaws or a process that needs to be established, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Let's get it resolved.
And the point that I raised about the our administrative whole, mm-hmm. I think needs to also be addressed.
Let's tackle that in a work session.
Okay.
Quickly.
And, in fact, there have been times when we have said, well, I don't have enough information, or I want more information, and bring it back to another meeting. We've done that on more than one occasion. Mm-hmm. So, one of them was the whether to get the vehicle from the City of Sisters. You know, we thought we didn't have enough information on that. Asked Lorana to get some more, and then that came back at another meeting. So we do that. And yes, it's always, that's what you're there for, is to make decisions on, like Jeremy said, what you think you have enough information on to make a sound, or be part of making a sound decision. And if you don't feel like you have that, say, no, I'm not ready to vote now.
something that might be helpful is going to a council meeting, either in Bend or in Redmond or another city, and looking at how that staff council interaction occurs, and maybe talking to some of those council members to find out what works or doesn't work for them. Because we can tell you from a staff perspective how things work, and their perspective might be more helpful for you since you're sitting in that council role.
So they are free to talk.
Yeah, we don't have a muscle on them or anything.
It's okay. Yeah. Yeah, sisters meets, what, at 8 in the morning? So. Oh, my God. All right, thank you. That was a good idea.
Does anyone have any other questions? Or?
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, appreciate it. And what we can do to help. We're always willing to help fellow Central Oregon City, and so if there's things, resources that you need, just let us know, and we're happy to provide you with, you know, guidance. And
well, thank you. I think you've helped a lot already. You gave us some insight that we didn't have before, and we should have done this a long time ago.
Well, we'd love to be part of your, if you decide to go that route, we'd love to be part of your process, too. So
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. Really appreciate it.
I'm actually going to take, unless there's anything else, I'll take off. As much as I love to say that, I'll take off.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Yes,
okay, I'm glad you came along. Okay, Doug. What? Excellent information gathering.
Oh, well, by talking to other people, you get a lot of ideas of what other people are doing, and if what they're doing works, then it's worth looking at. You know, and it's for the five cities that I talked to, what they do seems to work, and they're happy with it. And of course, they all have the same thing to say. They said that in their city, the city council legislates, and the staff does the work.
Right.
And that's and there's you know, there's no getting in between that. Okay. We make the rules, and we pay you guys to do what we tell you to do. Simple as that. And that's the way it should be. And if there is a problem with reverse communication back from staff to the city council, then that's really easy to fix. Mm-hmm. All we have to say is, we need more information on a timely basis, mm-hmm. and you will provide it because we're paying you to do that. Always do it.
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
He thinks truly, even though he's hungry.
Okay, go ahead,
Well, no, I just, Adele and I have discussed this now quite a few, couple times over the past few weeks. We need to do, all of us need to do a much better job with our communication, both ways. And it starts with the staff reports, in my opinion. And I know Luana and Patty are very busy, and I said this not too long ago, if you recall. Those staff reports we need to spend more time on, they need to be more thorough, and they need to give you enough information so that you can make sound decisions. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying that those staff reports, in my opinion, is where it all starts. And if there is a need for information between meetings, then I think the city council, you know, individually, you guys can call and communicate and ask questions and hope to receive answers. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's get that communication going.
Yeah, if you feel like there's something missing in a recommendation from staff.
We were told we can't do that.
No, what you were told was that you cannot come in and direct staff.
I understood to ask a question that we have to go through you. So we're getting miscommunication again.
Oh, we'll talk.
Yes.
What we need is the clarification from the staff meeting we had last week.
Yes,
I know that because of the weather and everything that's been happening, that you're way behind the eight ball on getting that up. But we do need it. And that's one of Barbara's concerns, that she didn't understand. I understand, you understand, you guys understand, because we all understood it. But you guys haven't been, you don't know yet, because we haven't put it out yet, because of, haven't been able to do it yet. Mm. It's one of those things where Kitty hasn't had,
we delegated her to put it in writing.
Yeah, and you're so kind.
And she hasn't had the opportunity to do it yet.
You were so kind to say at first, we haven't got it out yet, this we guy is me, and for the entire week, they
have to. I know. It's one of those things. They just have too much going at one time.
Our administrative hole.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Yes, I'm...
But unfortunately, there's not a whole lot we can do about that right now. Other than work with the parameters that we have and do the best we possibly can.
Every day I just keep hoping to quit getting slammed with things from too many directions so that I can finish this up. I work on it. Like, I sit down thinking, oh good, I have a chunk of time here now, a couple of hours, I can get this done. I'm 12 minutes into it and something else of immediate concern comes my way. It's been one of those weeks, even over the weekend. I apologize for that. It's not anything I could help. I don't have a crystal ball. I couldn't see what was coming my way.
Another suggestion is that maybe that go-between person doesn't have to be the mayor. Maybe it can be another counselor.
And that can be. We need to talk about all that. And I think we're making great, great progress here.
Yeah, I think let's schedule a work session.
Uh-huh.
And let's move forward on all these items.
Yeah, that's our next thing.
You know, I think if we go way back about 2.5 years ago, the original city council gave the mayor the ability to be the go-between staff and without
sure.
talking to the other council members. And you're the mayor, so that falls on you. Now, if we want to change that and have somebody else be the go-between, we can do that.
Right.
But right now, the way it was originally set up and the way it was originally voted on, the mayor is the one that has to go between council and staff, and the rest of us are left out. Well, that's just the way it is.
Well, it doesn't have to be, though, first of all.
Well, I didn't say it had to be, but that's, you know.
In the role of the mayor has been, historically here in La Pine, as a liaison.
Yeah.
Not an administrator, not a manager, but a liaison. Now, the mayor then decides after receiving the information from staff what to do with it.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's nothing wrong with the mayor then communicating all the information to the other city councilors. Nor is there anything wrong, in my opinion, with the city councilors contacting city staff to get updates on issues, on pending matters.
You know, even though this whole process is a little bit painful for everybody, I think it's good because if we do decide to go to the city manager, that we're going to be able to let them have the authority that they need to do a good job.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I do like the comment that was made from Eric, and I forgot her name, but
Courtney.
About the need to really frame up what the city objectives are prior to getting too far with the employment of city manager. I like the idea of identifying what our priorities are, what our objectives are. We already have goals for this fiscal year, obviously, but because it will drive the job descriptions. Our job description for the city manager may be different than the job description for the city sisters or the city event. And so they do.
I'm sure it's going to have to be.
Well, they will. And it will be. It'll work hand in hand.
Yeah.
So I thought we made a lot of progress.
I think so, too. And we will continue on, as we had previously agreed, with ongoing work sessions until we get to a final decision on where we're going to go. So do we, for our upcoming meeting, which is,
December 20th.
Oh, well, that's something that needs to be discussed during the meeting. Anyway, for our upcoming meeting, then, have a work session beforehand on this same topic, and
sure.
Then we have other topics, too.
It looked like there was something that I just put in the file today, and I can't pull it down on my
head.
We'll
do that later. We're going to have 50 minutes to meetings. Okay, so, for staff, again, we're in an ongoing work session on this, so we need to...
On the 23rd, did I hear that right?
It will be decided, it'll kind of be discussed during the meeting tonight.
Tonight, we'll discuss
the regular meeting.
When our next meeting is going to be.
Yes.
So with that, is everyone okay?
Next year we'll
put PDA on. Is anyone okay to adjourn?
Next year we'll put PDA on it.
All right, adjourn. Do you want to adjourn?
I have one question first. At the last meeting, somebody was delegated to put down on paper what we think we're going to have accomplished by July 1st. Who was that anyway?
what we think we're going to have accomplished?
By July 1st?
By July 1st?
Well, yeah, it goes back to, if we're going to hire a city manager, we need to know what's going to be on the plate on July 1st for the city manager to manage. You know, if I recall, somebody was going to figure out, like, Jerry, are we going to have the city charter done by then? That's what I'm asking.
I don't recall what you're talking about. I don't think that was ever directed.
But that's a good thing that we could talk in the work session about.
Yeah, we need to know what's going to be on the plate before we.
And again, you four make that decision. And if you say that the city charter is going to be on the plate this spring, it's going to be on the plate. It's as simple as that.
That's what we need to decide on. What's going to be there?
Well, let's start it. I mean, it sounds like our work session, we're going to move the ball forward at the work session.
Next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I will then call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Wood, yes.
Councilor Lehman, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Meeting is adjourned at 4:52 p.m. Thank you, people.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio City Council regular meeting of Wednesday, December 9th, 2009 is called to order at 6:04 p.m. We'll start with roll call, please.
City Recorder Luana Damerbaugh.
City Attorney Jeremy Green.
Mayor Katie Shields.
Councilor Barbara Hedges.
Councilor Del Molina.
Councilor Douglas Ward.
Administrative Assistant Patty Morgan.
Thank you. We have all staff and all seated councilors present. We will continue on with the meeting. Councilor Landon, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Alright, move on to number four, added agenda items, which on this agenda is number 11. We do have one item to add, that will be agenda item 11A. And that is to schedule a work session for FOMA complaint resolution policy and records request policy. Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. With a little luck, we'll have no question or concern that I have to ask. Is everyone okay? I've got time to review the consent agenda, and is everyone okay with it?
Okay, we, the minutes for October 28th.
Mm-hmm.
At the last, the agenda motion, he had me on there, I wasn't present.
You sure, certainly would.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I didn't pick up on that. I'm just used to you being here.
I have a question on the check detail.
Okay, is this going to be something that's going to necessitate a discussion and we may have to...
No, just clarification.
All right.
Page 2, card number 17,
mm-hmm.
Number 1636. Says here, IT support program for IT GoDaddy for spam. Can somebody tell me what that is?
Yes.
We had to purchase a program and Tony installed it to help with our spam control on our email because it was out of control. And we had to purchase it, and in order to do that, we did it with the credit card.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, I'm sorry. So can we move the balance and budget profit loss statement onto the agenda.
All right.
To move the balance sheet and the profit loss statement onto the agenda.
5B2.
Okay.
All right. So, 5B2, added agenda item 11B. Okay, I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent agenda with the minor correction to the October 28, 2009 minutes as recommended, and with the removal of the financial report, current budget chart to added agenda item.
I would so move.
Okay.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Mullane, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. All right. Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. Move on to item number 6, 2010 Year of the Volunteer presentation by Ed. Onimus. And like first time.
Just like an onimus, you just drop the end.
There you go.
So this will be fun, right here?
Sure. You just make yourself, wherever you feel most comfortable, work on the bench here.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, City Council, staff, I appreciate this opportunity to address you tonight. World War I General Peyton Conway March said, "There is a wonderful mystical law of nature that the three things we crave most in life, happiness, freedom, and peace of mind, are only attained by giving them to someone else." This past September, Redmond City Council adopted a resolution declaring 2010 the Year of the Volunteer, and meeting one of the council goals of establishing a community service initiative, the council also recognizes the value and the importance of volunteers in building a community, a quality community for all, because when Redmond volunteers, all of Redmond benefits. We are trying to reach the regular volunteer and asking them to give a little bit more, but we're especially trying to reach those who don't normally volunteer. Studies indicate that Americans over the age of 16, three out of four Americans over the age of 16, does not formally volunteer. Now, what I mean by formally is they don't volunteer for an organization. Chamber of Commerce, United Way, Boys and Girls Clubs, Big Sisters, Big Brothers and Big Sisters. We're trying to reach that audience and ask it the question, what is your passion? What moves you? What brings a tear to your eye? What compels you to say, that's not fair, something needs to be done? Is it the environment? Is it illiteracy? Is it homelessness, poverty, hunger, the arts and entertainment? Or is it something entirely different? What's your passion? Pick your passion. Get involved and become a volunteer, because the reality is the need for volunteers extends beyond the borders of Redmond. It extends throughout the Tri-County area and throughout the state and beyond. In Central Oregon, there are over 2,200 people that are considered homeless. 40% are children. These are our family, our friends, our neighbors. They may have been the guy that fixed your car last year, or the woman that served you dinner last month. In Central Oregon, there are families that are going to bed hungry. In Central Oregon, these past two nights, where it's been dipped below zero
on the outside temperature, there are families that are cold. In Central Oregon, there are youth that are really big brothers, big sisters, mentors. Someone who cares is a place to go. In Central Oregon, we have children that cannot read to their grade level. When Central Oregon volunteers, all of Central Oregon benefits. As was known by Peyton Marsh, volunteers benefit from their services. Studies indicate that volunteers are healthier, happier, and live longer. In the words of Booker T. Washington, if you want to lift yourself up, lift up someone else. I am here to invite the city of Lapine to join Redmond, to join Sisters, to join Badgers, Culver, and Prineville in declaring 2010 the year of the volunteer. I invite the citizens to get involved, to pick a passion, to get involved, and to become a volunteer. I thank you for your time, and I welcome any questions that you may have.
Council, any questions, comments?
No questions, but very nice presentation. Thank you very much.
I'm worried about the people that are out there in the cold. And
I am too. My key didn't work in my car.
Is there something for them right now?
There are shelters. There's a couple shelters in the Bend area. But no, there's a serious lack. And we also have to understand the Central Oregon definition, or the Oregon definition of what is considered homeless. In Oregon, homeless is anyone living in temporary housing. That could be a hotel room, that could be, you know, your friend's house for a couple of nights, or it could mean a tent.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there is a homeless camp somewhere, I understand, south of Bend, where I'm not sure. There are, as I mentioned, shelters, but there's not enough beds. Mm-hmm. And there are people ready to mobilize to help, but there's a lack of funding and lack of volunteers.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How do you get children to volunteer?
Yeah, I have a question. I was involved in the Project Connect this past September with Cindy Pasco and the Partnership to End Poverty. And we had 600 volunteers out at the Deschutes County Fairgrounds. And a good number of them were children. They volunteered in the veterinary services area. So we had the opportunity to not only help, but play with the pets, play with the participants' pets. What I've been telling others, because this is just the groundwork. I mean, there's still a tremendous amount of work to do. I'm going to be partnering with the chamber on this. We're going to mobilize the troops. If you're a business person, you know that one of the best forms of advertising you can possibly get, and the cheapest, is word of mouth. What I'm going to be asking current volunteers to do is invite a friend. I mentioned Project Connect this past September. I invited my daughter to join me. She's one of those 3 and 4 that don't normally volunteer. And then she invited her boyfriend. And they spent about $5 each out there working in the medical area, and they loved it. My daughter wants to be a volunteer going forward and help in other areas. So, you know, using current volunteers, invite a friend, which may include children, to participate in an activity like Project Connect, like the Relay for Life for the American Cancer Society, or the Walk of Life for colon breast cancer awareness, I think it is, and other activities like that, swinging a hammer for Habitat for Humanity. If you're involved in an activity, invite a friend that doesn't normally volunteer.
We're going to have a volunteer group. The chamber is doing it after the breakfast.
Yes,
that'll be good.
I spoke.
Mm-hmm. Great. So for the city to come on board with declaring 2010 as year of the volunteer,
mm-hmm.
What precisely does that do for you? Let us
that. It essentially, you're acknowledging the value of the volunteer.
Okay.
As a governing body.
Mm-hmm.
You work closely with the chamber and other nonprofits within your city throughout the year. Encourage city employees to volunteer for those if they're not already. just encourage volunteers through your own volunteerism yourself. You set the example.
Okay. Do you like to receive something?
Not necessarily. I'm just here to try to energize volunteerism throughout.
Well, I was just wondering if you do that, get something from the council in writing. Does that help to further your purpose? And
some of the other councils have. I received a copy of the Madras Proclamation. Ben handed me their proclamation the night that they adopted it. Some cities, I think, like Culver, didn't even do a formal resolution. They did a vote that night. Whether I don't know if they actually wrote something up or not. I think I sent Joanne a copy of the Redmond, and if I didn't, I can. If you're looking for wording for a particular resolution, you're certainly welcome to play with the one that we had and rewrite it to meet your own needs. There's no particular wording or phraseology that you have to have. Essentially, you're acknowledging and declaring what you did as the year of the volunteer.
It doesn't have to be in writing, though, does it? The council can just declare it.
Right, that's what he was just saying. Yeah. I was just asking if it would help you, your organization, if it would help further anything you do. And obviously, if we put something like this in writing, it's yours, yours to share.
In a sense, it also becomes your permanent record.
Right.
We need little stickers for the business windows. How many volunteers in their business?
I hope to encourage businesses. The chamber certainly could help that. Windermere is a good example of a business that they set one day aside during the year where they actually close their doors and they go out and do community service. Their employees, the entire company. That would be nice to be if we can get other businesses on board to do something similar. Mm-hmm.
So, Council, what would you like to see us do? What would you like to see us do?
I think we need to pass a resolution in support, and I think we need to have Milana write up a proclamation, and you sign it, send it to the room.
I agree.
Resolution and a proclamation?
What's the difference?
Well, just a proclamation is
so proclamation to do.
Proclamation.
Wrong word, I'm sorry.
Okay. We just get both, but I just don't know which one.
So we can vote on making a proclamation to declare 2010 the year of the volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And I'd love to have Mayor sign and forward that on to the city of Redmond.
I envision some exciting things in
2010. Our best wishes. I was trying to make that in the form of a motion. Does council take it that way?
Yes.
So, is that one?
Yes.
Okay. So, John?
I so move.
You so move. Okay.
I already did.
I'm sorry.
Moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Mullanan, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Thank you very much.
And thank you.
Thank you.
I can't hear down the table.
Try to make the crowd. We'll see what we can stir up in volunteerism around here.
There's all Central Oregon crowd.
And actually, there is a lot of it going on, but yes. We can always use more.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Mm.
Careful, there's no laughing.
Careful, just
me. Okay. Next agenda item, we need to discuss scheduling of counselor training with the League of Oregon Cities, and I believe Juana has a staff report for us here. Has everyone had a chance to review that?
Yes.
Yes.
Comments, concerns, suggestions?
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
The cost of this thing is $1,200 for a three-hour training session. My concern is on the very last page under attachment one, number one and number two that they would be training us in are already in Chapter 2 and Chapter 3 of the Handbook for Oregon City Councilors. I've read it from cover to cover. Number 3, City Council Policies, are covered in Resolution 208-014, the policies of the Pine City Council. And the last 3, 4, 5, and 6 are covered in the Oregon Government Ethics Law Guide for Public Officials. For $1,200, I'm not real swift on having somebody talk to me and read the book to me for a 3-hour period of time when the information is already available to us and easily read and understood by, if I can understand it, anybody can.
Where did you get those?
I got them when I became a counselor, and I always assumed that everybody else got one too. If you didn't, you need to request them from Luana. Because
they're part of the counselor packet.
It was in the new counselor packet when I got elected.
And can you confirm that those were given to you?
I've got
to the counselors?
Notebook that's from 2004. Okay. Mine's just a notebook, but those
I think we probably
I didn't.
Yeah.
My opinion is that it would be very valuable because we get so much more by interacting with each other than just reading things to clear up and discuss when you look at something in the book and you don't exactly know what it means. My only problem is it's only 3 hours.
Actually, League of Oregon Cities is very good with their trainings, and they give a lot into 3 hours' time. I tend to agree with Councilor Hedges that you get more out of it when you actually have a real live training, because you have that back and forth, the question and scenario situation that you can get into. When I read a lot of these things, it opens up other questions in my mind, and I don't find them answered anywhere. And it would be presented by, is it Jenny herself?
Jenny Mesmer, and in conjunction with that, because this was looked at last year, Lisa Jacobson from CIS Insurance would also probably participate in that also.
Excellent.
Risk management.
And these two have been around extensively to other cities all throughout Oregon and helped them with their concerns and questions, and they, I think, could give us a lot of insight into some of the policy kind of things that we're questioning too and wanting to work on. My opinion is that it would be worth the money. The question that I have is, how many can attend? Do they have a limit on that?
I don't think so. I think it's just a training that they give for...
Because it would be wonderful to have our
planning
commission and any other city committee members that we have also attend, just to understand a little more about how cities operate.
It didn't sound like that there was any. I can double check with you tomorrow.
Could you do that, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
I think I would be in favor of the training. I think if the, because I read all those books too, and I don't feel that we have been, that we have an understanding of what is in it, because it can't be interpreted. That's what it was meant to be interpreted, so that councilors and cities can form their own type of government. So I think that it would be good so that they can give us the parameters of what we can and can't do. I would be in favor of keeping it to the city council, and so that we could get possibly that one-on-one. I think that we need some team building activities, and this could be one of them, and this would also be a good precursor for if and when we get, a city manager, we have a good idea of what the roles are.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. If we had just the council, we could have more time during this 3 hours to discuss. If you get 20 people with a question or interacting.
But sometimes the same, several people have the same question and you get it all answered at once for one of it at one time. Councilor Mullane brought up a very important theme there, team building. Mm-hmm. And our other committees are part of our team. And I think the better they understand my personal thoughts, that's what we're all supposed to be doing here, the better they understand how the city works, how city council works, it seems to me, the better that would be for us. So we're all involved. Throwing that out there.
And also, we can also get diverted, too, into other areas, but if we have council, then it can address the concerns that we have and the issues that have been made us ineffective, possibly.
All right, let me suggest this. Luana and I have both been at trainings before that Jenny Mesmer has done, and she designs it to us. She meets for us. She meets our needs. She stays on schedule, and so it could be clear that that's the main focus. Mm-hmm. That this is council training, and going to keep it in that domain. Yeah, and she would know how to handle that and how to set it up for us, so that we don't get sidetracked into other questions. It would be something like other committee members, maybe just there to observe and take notes. We could do it that way. Mm-hmm.
Or Luana could ask her what her opinion would be, how many.
Mm-hmm. First of all,
if there's a maximum amount of people.
How much of a bang can we get for them?
So, we're not going to be voting on this tonight, are we? To go ahead and approve the cost?
This was my research project I was given to bring back to the council.
And we can decide.
We might ask the Planning Commission also if they're interested.
Yeah. Or you might want to just schedule. Obviously, we need to schedule it for when it works for the council. It's council training. And then if this also works for Jenny to set it up and have our other committee members there, we had hoped that they would want to and that the scheduling also works for those members or for most of them. That makes sense?
You get lunch, Doug. You get lunch.
Oh, your arguments are all very convincing.
Can I ask a question?
Okay, sure.
I would suggest maybe the chamber would be interested. Just a thought.
Okay, I don't know how big we want to get with this.
I understand.
Maybe
it's a
chamber representative, which actually we do already have one on one of our other committees. Mm-hmm. So we'll think about that. Okay. Thank you. It is good to have as many people as possible understand how a council works, or should work.
Mayor, can I just say just one real quick thing? I promise I'll shut up. If that training were held in the Pine,
it will be
perfect. Then if in fact it's for council training, and that's fine, but would it not be appropriate if in fact others were here just to learn and we don't participate, but just to listen?
Well, that's actually what we're talking about. And Luana will run that by Jenny Mesmer. She's the one doing the training. And they might even have guidelines on it. We first have to look into that. Okay. Thank you. So, Council, I'm hearing that we want more information before making a final decision on this? Or time to think about it more?
I'm good with it, but I would like more information on how many can be accommodated.
All right, is it
Okay, thank you.
When she would be available.
Ah, okay. Because that was going to be my next suggestion, find out what available dates. I'm hearing general counsel consensus that we would like to schedule.
No, all three of you have a very good argument. I'm still opposed to it. I will listen to further discussion, but at this point, I'm opposed to it.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get that additional information to see what dates are available.
And then a budget impact statement and where the money you said come from?
Okay. Yes. Oh, yes. And thank you for that, Councilor Malayman. That was a question of mine that I forgot to write down in my notes when I was reading through this. So, thanks. Uh-huh. All right. So that will be on the next meeting's agenda?
Yes.
Thank you kindly. Move on to approval of wilderness garbage disposal and fees, please. Bow by George. Welcome, Stu. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Okay. When can we get George Garb recycling?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, come on.
Yeah, it looks like it says that in the vacuum.
Okay. It's all filled up when I go out there. I have to throw it on the ground.
Okay, are you talking about recycling or a request for a rate increase?
Oh, recycling.
Okay.
I got off track.
Out of order here. Yes. Let me slap, slap, slap. All right. We have before us a request for approval of wilderness garbage disposal fee increase. And Laura has her staff report on there. Has everyone had a chance to look at this? Any comments, questions, concerns?
In discussion with Attorney Green, according to the contract, we do need to have a resolution on this.
Ah,
so
okay.
We might want to table it for the next meeting.
Because it wasn't listed as resolution on the...
Mm-hmm.
Well, not because it wasn't listed. I was out last week, so obviously we wanted to have a chance to run it by me.
Okay.
But I'm looking at the ordinance right now, and the ordinance seems to suggest that we need to adopt a rate increase by resolution. And so if we want to do things right, we need to follow the ordinance.
Okay, so we need to have a resolution prepared
for the next meeting.
To be before us at the next meeting.
Time, right?
Well, that's up to the council.
You're not going to go broke in the meantime? I think this
well, it's not effective to January 1st.
Until January 1st, so, yeah.
And it's... Oh.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, it is a request for a rate increase, but it's also considered a pass-through.
Yes.
It is a fee imposed by Deschutes County on the garbage haulers. It is not a request from us, per se.
Right. So we do understand that. We don't want your increased cost to make you go broke in the meantime. That's a joke.
So what I'll do is, if Stu doesn't object, I'll call Stu and figure out its application to the ordinance. Are you okay with that, Stu?
Sure.
Yeah. And we'll figure out what needs to be prepared. But I'm just looking at, for example, Section 3-8, Stu. It says rate determination. It says changes in rate shall be made by resolution in order of the council.
That's fine.
So I'll call you and we'll make sure we got the right documents in place.
Okay.
Okay. Excellent.
And
we will have that ready at the next meeting. Did you have something else?
And if Councilor Hedges did have a question about recycling, I'd be happy to answer those now.
I'll allow that.
With you, do you anticipate curbside pickup of recycling material?
That's been brought to our attention several times, not only within the city, but in the rural areas of Deschutes County, since we service both. The only problem with that is I think the Attorney Green could answer, the rates are for garbage disposal only. There's no rate in any of this for recycling. In order to provide recycling, we would have to figure a rate for recycling.
Oh, I had free recycling before.
And where?
Eugene has it, Junction City.
Mm-hmm. And that is probably a rate built into the garbage rate.
The rate didn't go up after they started picking up recycling.
Probably because it was already built into that rate in the beginning.
Years before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we did do a pilot program probably 6 years ago, and it was estimated that the cost would increase your normal garbage bill. At that time, I think it was $12.30 for one 32-gallon sized can. Would go up to about $38 to $40 for one can to cover the cost of buying a new truck, hiring a new person, health insurance, all the benefits, the fuel, to man that one truck, say within the population of the city of La Pine. I don't think the citizens would want to pay $40 for one garbage can plus the recycling.
Good point.
And plus the recycling materials. We receive a fax every month on what the materials are worth at the market. And currently for the last year, the markets have been so poor that they're actually charging to get rid of glass, paper, newspaper. It was all in the news, I think, for the last year, how the markets have been in the bucket. So that's another factor that would determine the rate for recycling. Now, according to ORS, I forget the number, but mandated by DEQ, a city under a population, I think, of 4,000, there is no recycling. No one's mandated to do that. I think it does say that there's an opportunity to recycle, and we do have a depot located at our office. Mm-hmm. There's also one at the transfer station, and that's all provided free. There's no charge to use that.
Thank you for providing it. It's nice.
And a lot of people don't realize that when you get the garbage bill, that's just for garbage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. I wish we could do more, but right now, we can't.
Well, thank you for that. You all heard it right here. We're not going to get into a garbage and recycling discussion.
Can I just make a comment?
Very quickly, please.
I used to live out at East Bend on Conestoga Hills, and we started with regular garbage, and then they did offer the huge can picked up every 2 weeks, and our building did not go up.
Okay, thank you for that. Like I said, we're not going to get into back and forth. I think it was very helpful for all of us. I appreciate that update. And again, we all heard it here. Some of us already know this. We have a great free recycling center out there. And I appreciate the opportunity again to express that we all should be thankful for that. Still sorry we couldn't accommodate you tonight.
That's okay.
You'll be in communication with Jeremy.
We'll get it together.
All right. Thank you. We'll move on to a letter of support for City of Sisters. And we have a nice little... Mm-hmm. Oh, did you have any comments on this, Lorna?
No, this came to me as you see it. So,
again, this is a very
courtesy thing
to support them in their grant request.
Mm-hmm.
In a block grant request, yeah. Pretty straightforward and what's the word that I want? Routine kind of thing. They did up a
letter for us here that I would be happy to sign just the way it is, if council is good with it. And if in fact we do want to give them our support.
They've supported us a lot.
Yeah, they have.
It was an interesting presentation at the Small Cities Network meeting by Greg Hohonski. And I brought cards here, but evidently there is somebody in town here who does this kind of thing. But I think it's a good idea.
I thought that was interesting. Micro enterprise facilitation position.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if that's anything like Clark Jackson's position. But
they teach people that if you do it all yourself, you don't do it as efficiently as if you have help, such as if you hire a bookkeeper for your business when you're not doing very well. You hire somebody to help you and it will go better. Mm-hmm. Little things.
All right. Well, council, would we like to sign and send this letter of support for a community development block grant to the City of Sisters, or for the City of Sisters?
I would so move.
I was asking if we want to. Wasn't asking for a motion.
Yes. I would so move it. Yes.
Everyone? Okay. So we're ready to vote on it. Everyone see it. Okay. I'll entertain a motion to approve the letter of support for a community development block grant for the City of Sisters with authority for the mayor to sign.
I so move.
Yes, I second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Mullane, yes.
Councilor Hitchens, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. And I'm going to depend on staff, as usual, to remind me that I have this to sign.
Don't forget to stop by City Hall and run out the building and sign these.
Like I always do. Okay, yeah, that's my reminder now. Okay. All right. Next item, number 10, review of new councilor applications, which I understand has just trimmed right down to application.
Yep.
Well, go ahead. What do you have for us there?
Well, I went through all of the on-file council applications, tried to contact them, find out if they were still interested. The results are on my staff report. We have one new application that has come in, and that's for the phone calling to try to come up with a pool. That's it.
All right, and I would like to throw in there, I know this because I was in contact with Rana on this while she was doing it. She made three attempts in three consecutive days to reach each of these, or ones that not anything's disconnected.
The no answer ones.
The no answer, okay. Mm-hmm. And we had previously decided that we were going to wait until we had a good pool of candidates to choose from, and our pool turned out to not be a pool after all. So it, to me, seems advisable to... We had a pool. We thought we had a pool. That's what we had to work with. And we didn't get any more. They dropped out for whatever reasons. They're no longer available. I think we need to move forward and
consider the one application that we do have, because we could wait forever to have another pool of three or more. Councilor Ward?
I agree.
Grab him while you can.
Councilor Lehman?
Like to move forward with the interview? Well, yeah, so I misunderstand about this pool. So we actually had applications, current applications, and we were holding on to them? Is that what I understood?
These were applications that we had on file at City Hall that were not from previous applications, from previous council applications, council appointments.
Well, we've always hoped to have, maybe I didn't explain it right either, we've always had hoped to have a pool of three or more to choose from so that for any position. And we have just not been getting applications and not been getting applications until this one came in. And so finally, Luana and I discussed it and thought we had these prior ones still on hand from before, but when you guys were appointed or whatever, and we thought they never said that they wouldn't still be interested, so let's go ahead and consider that our pool, since we are not getting newer applications no matter how hard we try. And so more out of respect for those other applicants who were still on file, even though we weren't getting any new ones other than this one that finally came in, we thought it would be not very politically correct to just move on and hopefully appoint the one new one that we have, that we should at least give the existing, the on file ones another attempt at contacting and see if they're still interested.
Yes, they are interested.
Okay. And that was the result.
Here we are.
The one newest applicant is the only one interested, the only one reachable and such. Actually, we have two newest applicants. The one does not wish to run at this time after having applied. And one other one says, well, actually, we have two of those. Please hold for next time. Does that one?
Actually, the one that does not want to wish to run at this time is basically a no.
No, I mean, how recent are those?
How recent are what?
Did those applications come in?
The last two council openings.
Okay. Anyway, so those, you know, we did have some that are fairly recent. And we hoped to get a pool of at least three of actively recent ones, and it just wasn't happening. So we went back, double-checked the others, and here we are. So, as City Recorder noted at the bottom, council has the option to appoint at this meeting, and appointee can be sworn in immediately. If we decide we want to do that, we would need a motion. If the applicant is here, we need a motion to interview at this time. If you're ready.
It makes you feel good to know you're at the bottom of the pool.
Actually, you're
at the top. You're
actually at the top.
You're the only one there. It could be any place you want.
The other people were just kind of, we thought, still there, but apparently not. Like I said, we wanted to have a big enough pool.
I understand.
The citizens would be happy that we're doing due diligence and interviewing and such. So.
Okay. Are you asking for a motion to interview? Is that, did I hear that?
Yes.
Yeah. I would so move that.
Can I have a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to interview present applicant that we have for the open City Council position. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Moynihan, yes.
Councilor Hitches, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. All right, that may have been a little clumsy, sorry about that, but we got there.
And I'm not sure if we have any specific interview questions. Beautiful.
Last time, I think that we just all asked what was on our minds.
Sure.
I think I would go with that format.
All right, we'll just go right down the line.
Okay. Don, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but the correct pronunciation of your last name?
Greiner.
Greiner? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, a couple of real easy questions. You're a resident of the city?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and you are interested in becoming a city councilor?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You're sincere when you say you want to be part of the leadership team?
I am very definitely sure of that.
Okay, one question here on the number three, expectations for the city. We need to expand our tax base. Could you just in 30 seconds tell me what you meant by that?
Well, first of all, you're going to have to expand the city limits sometime. I mean, there isn't enough tax base evidently where we're at, because if I remember right, at the last council meeting, you were considering the possibility of having to raise the tax base again.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, we need to expand the borders of the city.
Okay. And you have no problem with serving on subcommittees?
Not at all.
We have a whole bunch of them. Some of them are even outside of town. Like, I have to go to Redmond.
Well, I think I put on there that I'm retired, so I'm available to go places wherever I
And you have to. You have plenty of time to devote to this.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Councilman Lehman.
Well, thank you for your application. And two things I wanted to correct is that we didn't raise the tax base this year. So, and the second thing is that the comp plan doesn't identify a UGB or an expansion of the UGB, that we have enough buildable land within the city limits for 20 years. And so that has not been identified. So what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Lapine?
Pretty biggest challenge right now, as I see what I've heard from the discussion of the council, is what you're going to do about a city manager and what you're going to come up with as far as the duties and responsibilities of that city manager. And it's my humble opinion that you've got to get the cart or the horse in front of the cart. You've got to come up with the procedures and what their responsibilities and everything are first, then start looking for the city manager.
Okay. So are we going to get a second round? Or?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
On number two, it is a little vague, like CIA. What nonprofit were you involved in that?
The Pine Senior Activity Center.
No, I mean in your work life.
Oh.
In your former work.
The Royal Order of Moose, a fraternal organization.
Okay, and you traveled and recruited.
First of all, I started at the ground floor. I started becoming a member. I got active in the Board of Officers. I became the governor of the lodge or the president of the organization. Uh-huh. And then there was an opening for a paid job as secretary, administrator, manager, and for 17 years I was secretary manager of several lodges. After that, my work was reviewed by Moose International, and I was promoted to the traveling auditing staff. I traveled as an auditor for about a year and a half, then I was promoted into the national headquarters at Illinois, and I worked there for 14 years. And during that time, when I retired, I was the Chief Deputy Supreme Secretary, and I was in charge of, I believe, either 13 or 14 employees at that time. Supervised them, signed their duties, and so forth.
Very good. Where you state that, councilors should be able to give a short talk about this city whenever they're called upon. How would
you train for that? How do we get the information?
Really, I wouldn't think that there would be any need for training. All of you are active in the council. You know what the issues are in front of the council. And if, for instance, if you happen to be at a meeting someplace and they ask you about the city, you should be able to say, well, the city has about so many people in it, the city has this, this is our problems right now, and this is how we're trying to resolve them. It doesn't take but just a few minutes, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, and just give a brief talk and build up the city.
So
to me, that's important.
This is why we need our training then, to understand this. Thank you.
All right, well, I think pretty much all of my questions were asked and answered. I liked what I heard, but you really sold me when you said get the horse before the cart. So, Councilor Ward, anything else?
No more questions, but I think we have a very, very qualified candidate in front of us, and I would ask the member if she would put a motion up for a yes or no vote for appointment.
Any other comments, questions?
No, well, I haven't finished answering.
Well, that's why I'm still going down the line.
Okay, so what is your greatest asset that you would bring to the council? Because you kind of had an idea of how it interacts. And so how would you see as, what would you be bringing to the table?
I think one of the things that we need is to get more volunteers, and a variety of volunteers, because when I look up the committees, the various committees that the city has, it appears to me like we've got a limited amount, and we need to get out into the community and try to recruit people that are willing to come in and actually put in a few hours' time to help the city go, and I think that we can do that.
Okay, and how would you be a leader in a team?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
How would you be a leader in a team?
A leader? Well, ask Doug. I've been kind of put in that position at the senior center at times. You just if you have the opportunity and it comes forward, you just step up to the plate, grab the bat, and go with it. That's what you have to do. I mean, there are times that that's just the way it works.
I'm interested in how you promote volunteerism. From what I have seen, so many of the people are from outside the city limits. And are you interested in getting them to volunteer in the city to combine those in the city and those outside of the city? It seems to be kind of divided.
I think it would depend on what the purpose of the committee is. And if the committee is a committee that is working with things that might be working with county activities and so forth like that, I think it's necessary to have some people outside of the city limits. But I've found that if you're recruiting a volunteer, it doesn't do any good to stand up and say, hey, I want you to volunteer, because people just sort of sit down and don't do nothing. And the way it's like this gentleman that was here talking about volunteerism, the way to volunteer is go up to a friend and say, hey, we need you, can you spare an hour? And if you can get them to spare an hour and they have a good time doing it, you can get them maybe to volunteer 2 hours next time. And that's how we work it at the senior center. And admitted, we don't get everybody we ask, but we do get volunteers.
Finished?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. I was going to ask if you're comfortable in putting forth your steadfast opinion on something. I think I see that you are. You have opinions, you have ideas, and you're very comfortable stating what they are, because a good counselor needs to do that.
There's one thing I'd like to call your attention to. If you look at the very last line, I put down there that we're contemplating a vacation.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I just want to make it clear that we just moved, and we've had a lot of tension and a lot of work. and we need some time away, and we've made arrangements to go for the next couple of weeks, so I'll miss the next council meeting. However, we were planning on taking about 2 months, and we've scratched that, and the 2 weeks is going to be it, so.
Okay, and that will be in December?
Yes, we're leaving Friday. We've already made the arrangement, so.
Okay.
Just so you understand, I'm not trying to come in on something so that you don't know in advance.
Okay.
So we could anticipate you coming back in January?
No, I'll be back before January. I'll be back the last week in December.
For the meeting in January?
Oh, yes, I'll be here for that.
When we would be able to install you. Well, do you have any problems with your hunting and being involved with the moose?
First of all, I took away my legs years ago. And the only person that I ever heard of shooting a moose was he found he was drinking water instead of something else.
I'm picking on the elks now, okay?
Okay. All right.
Okay, so I have a couple more comments. I do really thank you for your application. But I also wanted to remind council that we were considering at-large positions, and that I think that, well, I know, and I'm looking at the minutes on the 28th, it was stated as it being a possibility, if that would be a legal possibility.
By charter. We have to adopt a charter.
Okay.
We've always said that it may be possible if we adopt a charter and permit an at-large position by charter. But under current state statute, it's specific to a citizen.
Okay. And so I was wondering that maybe we could hold off until we kind of decide what direction that we're going to go in that. Because the at-large positions, I think, should be held open, or two, I think is it. Another thing is that as a council, I think, first I want you to succeed. And as the council, I think we're going through a transition phase right now. And I think that I don't think to bring you on into, I'm not going to say dysfunctional, or we're just transcending. We're trying to get our roles together. We're trying to define what responsibilities. We're trying to fill the administrative role. And I think that it's a little premature to bring somebody on to a, at this time. But I would request that we hold on to this, and then when we are ready, and maybe include you in the training, when we do decide to get training, and so just hold on for it for a little while.
With all due respect, I completely disagree with you. This seat's been empty for over a year. We have a qualified candidate. I can personally vouch for him. He seems to have the intelligence, the desire, the will to put forth on the job, and personally, I think he deserves a straight up yes or no vote on joining the council at this time, at this meeting, right now.
Councilor Hedges.
I'm very impressed, but I think that I would prefer to have you come back the first meeting in January, and we can have our training probably set up by then, hopefully, and have you included in that. That's it.
All right. Thank you for your input, Councilor Malanan. Like Councilor Ward, I respectfully disagree. I think it's imprudent to wait when we've had a council seat open for so long, mm-hmm. and we do not know what our charter is going to consist of. We don't know that we're going to have a charter that allows for a non-resident counselor. We also have had two or three different target dates for getting a charter in place, and due to other things, we keep moving it. I hope that doesn't happen again, but I just want to throw that out there, that there's a possibility. We don't know for sure that we are going to get a charter in place as soon as we like, and besides, it's a process. How long does it take to get a charter? How long do you...
Months.
Months.
We need to start, as, again, late this winter, early spring, we have to have that moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And from that, from the point that we started, it takes, well, we have to have hearings, right?
It ultimately goes to the voters.
To the voters.
Yeah. It does go to the voters.
And so it is a process. I'm not willing to wait any longer. I think that we need to get another counselor on board, especially one who seems to have very good qualifications and is certainly very willing. And we've definitely had a hard time finding people who are willing to serve. And again, there's no guarantee that that's what our charter is going to look like. There will be other openings at other times. In fact, they come up every 2 years.
I strongly agree with what you have just said, and I would strongly ask the two counselors to my left to reconsider and give this gentleman a straight up vote, yes or no, right now. I think if we don't, we're missing out on an opportunity. I think we need to fill this seat. I think we have the candidate here to do it. And I don't see any reason to be waiting any longer. We've waited a year. There's no sense waiting any longer.
One more thing I'd like to add in respect to counselor training, where we are hoping to, we think we're going to get that scheduled, depending on what we find out. I would like to already have another counselor on board at the time, so that we can also discuss with that counselor what his scheduling is, to be sure that our entire 5-member council can be present at the training.
Well, I'll tell you. So how many council meetings have you attended?
Class 1 was the first one. But I've tried to keep up with what the city has been doing by the articles in the papers and so forth. Also, I've been on the internet to find out what the responsibilities of the mayor are, what the responsibilities of a city councilman is, and tried to prepare myself in a way that I could fill the position credibly.
Okay, I'm going to speak frankly and with all due respect that you've been to one meeting and you've already stated a strong opinion about putting the horse before the cart, and that concerns me.
So, may I respond to that?
Please.
My observation was strictly from the conversation that came from you four at that meeting. And what your concerns were, it seemed to me like you were more concerned at times to see that you had a city manager in place without having a clear definition of what the duties of that city manager was. That's how I drew my conclusions. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that's what I took from the discussion that I heard from the four of you sitting behind that table.
Doesn't the horse belong before the cart?
That wasn't the point I was trying to make.
I guess I missed it then, because what was your point? Because I don't see a problem with putting the horse before the cart. So
you didn't get the inference? I mean, I'm not going to explain it to you then.
Okay, then.
I want to work on getting a city manager. That was my feeling. instead of waiting until we meet and draw up all kinds of rules and regulations, and we can do that while we are searching for a city manager. We could meet and discuss what we want, and I think that we can do that at the same time. We don't have to tell somebody while we're searching, we're looking for this and this, and this is what we have. Because if we wait until we get a handbook in place, it'll be too late. And that was my horse before the cart. But I approve of you, but I would like to wait until the first meeting in January.
To appoint,
yes.
Just so you know, I thought that the report that Councilor Ward gave about the different communities that he's contacted, and they're willing to pretty much give you what's been successful for them, and it would seem to me like that would be your starting point, and it shouldn't take months and months and months to come up with a guideline. I would think that it would be done fairly rapidly. We might ask the attorney and see what his opinion is, but that's what I would see.
My feeling is that we spend a lot of time talking, and I would like to be searching while we're talking. So.
Okay, so I'm getting from you that you are agreeable to appointing, but you would like to put it off until January?
Yes.
And
there's no reason exactly, but...
Oh, except that if we appoint him now, we can put him to work as soon as he gets back from his vacation. And
we'll all be partying.
Oh, now it comes out.
Yes.
Again, with all due respect, I get the impression from you that you are in favor of the candidate, but you want to wait for 2 weeks. I don't understand. You're either in favor or you're not, and waiting till the next meeting in January, I think I don't agree with that. I think we should take a vote.
My interpretation.
Okay, Councilor Malanan, Councilor Ward was still addressing Councilor Hedges, and she has the right to respond then when he's finished.
Oh, okay. I just think that we should do it now. That's my opinion. We should do it now.
Well,
I'm sure you have a valid reason for wanting to wait, but my valid reason is to do it now.
After tonight's meeting and all that has gone on, I want him to be absolutely sure that he's committed to what he would be getting into.
Well, I think he did answer. That was one of the questions I asked him, and he did answer it in an affirmative.
Councilor Malanan, did you have something more to say?
I just was going to state that Barbara, I thought, was crystal clear in wanting to wait. And she just think that should be acknowledged.
All right. And your statement was that you would like for the candidate to be sure in what he wants to do.
I would like him to take the 2 weeks and be absolutely sure after all that we have discussed tonight.
Okay.
The problems that we might be heading into.
I'm not going to get into suggestions on anyone's age group or anything, but our candidate appears to me to be old enough to know how to make up his own mind, and when he says he's committed to something and he understands what he's getting into, I'm willing to accept his own personal assessment of himself at this time. Do you feel that you are ready
at this point in time to be appointed, or would you rather wait until the first meeting in January?
Mayor, if I didn't feel that I was capable of doing it and couldn't spend as much time as that was needed to do it and as much study as it's necessary to do it, I wouldn't have put my application in to begin with.
Thank you. Appreciate
Very simple.
That. Another round. Councilor Ward.
No more comment.
Councilor Lehman.
I'm ready to vote.
Councilor Hedges.
I stand by waiting until January.
All right. I'm ready to vote. We have three of us ready to vote. But we still may end up with a deadlock. I don't
know.
Well,
I guess I'll side with Barbara and say that we'll wait for 2 weeks.
And there's no sense voting if we're going to deadlock. Right?
You can do it for the record, or you can call in a pass A.
From what I read, is if... Well, I guess because we're not voting no.
Well, yes, I'm not voting no.
Right, okay, so then, right. We're not going to arrive at a decision today.
But if you want to vote for the record, as Councilor Green said, Attorney Green said, we can do that, or just go with the...
Could we vote yes, but not install him until...
In other words, delay the effective date?
Yes.
No.
I mean, you technically could. I mean, you could vote and delay an effective date. I don't know if it served well. It's up to you.
I still argue very strongly for respecting our candidate's ability to assess whether he's ready at this point in time, right here and now, to become a counselor.
Well, if you could give me your word that you will come back in January.
The only thing that will keep me from coming back in January is if I have an accident on this trip and I can't get back. We have a brand new house that we just bought, and I guarantee you we're not going to walk away and leave it. Guaranteed.
I'll accept that.
Does that change your perspective at all, Councilor Hedges?
Yes.
Are we ready for vote?
Since I am a yes, you know, definitely, but how do you feel about the training? As Councilor Ward thinks that it wouldn't be necessary.
Training in any position, I don't care what the position is very valuable. And I too feel that the interaction between the trainer and those being trained is very important. And one of the reasons I say that is because I used to travel as a trainer for Moose Lodge Secretary Administrators. And I've been all over the United States putting on schools for them. And I know how important one-on-one training is. So in my opinion, it's very important.
And I'll just restate my concern is that after one meeting that you've drawn the conclusion from what I heard that you think that getting the city manager would be premature without putting policies and procedures in place.
My opinion is that if you go out and put the word out that you want a city manager, you need to be able to tell the candidate what's expected of him. And until you can do that, it's premature. You can go out and look and find all these candidates, and then after you get settled with what his or her duties may possibly be, that might eliminate the candidate, because maybe that candidate's not interested and they spent a lot of time trying to get a job that they actually don't want when they get down and find out what the rules and regulations are.
That's just a job description, not a policy and procedures.
Well, I don't expect a procedure manual, but you need to have a description. What are their hours going to be? What are their duties going to be until the policy manual is completed? And what are they supposed to manage when they're here?
All right. These are the kind of discussions that need to be taking place among counselors. I think it's inappropriate to ask these kind of questions to cherry pick a counselor who thinks the same way any other counselor does, and that's kind of what
I'm
seeing
here. That was my point. What I said was that after one meeting to draw a conclusion. That's what my point was.
And, you know, every single one of us counselors.
I mean, are you disagreeing with what I'm saying? Or I mean, I do have my opinion.
You do, absolutely. Every one of us counselors and every single one of us from the very beginning, including Mr. Martinez, we had to make decisions right from day one. And that's no different from what I see our candidate doing now. He has formed an opinion based on what he's seen. He may get on the council and get more information and change his, modify his opinion or whatever. It's every single one of us at our very first meeting on council had to be part of decision making for the first go round of what we heard. I don't see this as being any different.
I have to tell you that I had not attended a council meeting before I was appointed. I didn't know a lot about it. I knew that I was interested in helping the city, so I definitely couldn't hold that against him, that he's at least attended one.
Well, everybody has to start someplace. Everybody on a first time.
Yes. And
that's all I'm asking for.
You've read all of that. I'm ready to vote.
Yes. I think we're all ready to vote.
All right. I will call for a motion to under this here. to appoint Donald Greiner to the open position on city council and to swear him in at this meeting.
I would so move.
I would like to maybe announce it so that we could have people here to meet him who are not able to come today.
We can always do that later, too. If we're ready to, and really, we do this all the time.
He moved. I seconded.
Okay. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Molinan, no. But I will do everything, if you are voted on, to help you assimilate into council.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes 3-1. Staff, of course, will take note of the way each councilor voted. That will be in the minutes. All right.
So we can make it so difficult.
You know, I think that was the public process in play.
You're in a hot seat now.
You know, and I think we did a good job. Everyone put some reasoning and thought behind that. Welcome aboard.
All I hope is I can do justice to your faith in me.
I believe that you will. So, to the reporter there, are you ready?
Yes.
We know where you live.
The clocker, stand by the slide. Raise your right hand if you have to me. I, Donald Greiner.
I, Donald Greiner.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the laws and constitutions of the United States.
That I will support the laws and constitutions of the United States.
And of the state of Oregon.
And of the state of Oregon.
And that I will, to the best of my ability.
And that I will, to the best of my ability.
Honestly and faithfully discharge the duties of city councilor.
Honestly and faithfully discharge the duties of city councilor.
For the city of Lapine.
For the city of Lapine.
During my continuance therein. During my
continuous.
Continuance.
Continuous.
Therein.
Therein.
Congratulations. All right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, what?
Should I sit there? Table?
I can sit over here, that doesn't bother me.
Okay, that's okay. You're a sworn in counselor, you are officially on the council. So, we will move on to other matters, and congratulations.
Thank you. I'm all excited and left everything.
The excitement's just beginning. No idea.
Oh, wait, we've had a very, very long day because some of us started here at 3 o'clock with our meeting duties and everything, so we need to move along here. We have added agenda items. 11A, we schedule a work session for formal complaint resolution policy and records request policy. What all else do we have coming up that we need to schedule on work sessions? Do you have that in front of you? I think. Oh, okay, we're going to have our ongoing manager discussion, manager. So we have that, and I would hope that we can add to that the formal complaint resolution policy and records request policy, cover all three of those in 1 hour-long work session, at least to get started on them. What do you think, Jeremy?
That's a lot.
That's a lot?
That's a ton.
Okay, so we're going to continue on with the, I'll just call it manager work session thing, because we promised ourselves we're not going to drop the ball on that. Can we insert one of those others, or should we take formal complaint resolution policy and records request policy and move those to the what would be the following meeting? We do those together and at least get started on them?
Yeah. It's whatever the city council chooses.
Well, we're likely to have a fairly long work session again on hiring a manager.
Yeah, what else to do?
The city manager, I mean, if you just budget some time here, a one-hour work session, probably minimum, at the next city council meeting, prior to the next city council regular meeting.
Okay.
The records request and formal complaint, we could at least do initial discussion on both of those in 30-minute blocks. So if you want to have a two-hour work session, sure, that's fine. But that's a long work session for everyone.
And that's a lot to absorb.
I would suggest that we put off the formal complaint and records request to the 1st of January.
All right. Now that I think about it, yeah, that sounds good to me. Council? It's a similar thing, putting things off, but, we can't kill ourselves either.
I agree with that.
Yeah, we need to devote time to those.
And so the first meeting in January is when we want to.
She's got the calendar right there.
13. Okay, so how about...
I have 2009.
I thought I put the 2010 one on your desk somewhere. Just a white sheet of paper with the calendar. Not that one. That one. There you go.
2010, January.
8th or something. No, 13th. 13th. Wow. Friday the 13th comes on a Wednesday. Okay. All in agreement, we'll schedule that, those two policy issues for the January 13th meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
13th, thank you.
13.
10. Oh my gosh.
Is that okay, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And December 22nd for the city manager.
And that's not
yes.
Already a change.
That's already... That's just an ongoing thing, yes.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to move the meeting.
You need to have that discussion.
We
we need to have that discussion.
And it's not on the agenda.
It's not on the agenda, so we will make that part. I'm sorry.
I missed that. I'm sorry.
But we need to reschedule our next January or December meeting because Tuesday isn't going to work.
Okay.
Why?
Because of conflicting schedules with the city attorney, and it really doesn't work.
No, not me. I don't have a conflicting schedule on the 22nd.
On the 22nd? It's a Tuesday?
What I said is if you want to do it, you can do it. You can do it without me if you want.
Oh, okay.
So if I can make it, I can make it, type thing.
I see.
Okay. But you don't necessarily need to reschedule on my account.
Okay, there was another reason we wanted to get something done sooner than that.
Oh, I remember. It was the selection of the snow removal contractors. That's right.
We were hoping.
But we don't want to wait until the 22nd to do that. What we wanted to do was discuss today the possibility of having a short special meeting next week, so all of you can select the snow removal contractors.
And then we can do it by teleconference.
Absolutely, no. In fact, we can make sure that you have all the information electronically in advance of the meeting.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay, so go ahead.
That's what you're thinking of.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead and keep the 22nd meeting scheduled as it is.
And then we'll let Luana and Patty organize a special meeting at some time convenient for the city council to make the selection for the snow removal contractors.
And that will be next week?
Next week. And I don't see any need to wait until the 22nd if you don't.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I'll have email available while I'm gone. Would it be possible? I left my email address on my application. Could she email that to me?
Absolutely. And you could call in and participate that way if you wanted to.
Okay. Thank you.
I know what else was on my mind. I was thinking we might want to move the meeting from the 22nd to, and I think we had scheduled considered maybe the 16th or something, because we are going to have the continuation of the manager discussion, and it might be beneficial to choose a time that we knew for sure you could be there.
Okay.
The 16th is there's the Water and Sewer Committee meeting at 1 o'clock, and there's a Planning Commission meeting at 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
and that's the room that's tied up. How far out can we go with the snow cloud decision? You know, is it going to snow on us? Are we going to have enough time?
Darn that crystal ball, nobody brought it this time either. So what'd you say about 17th, that day also, Verona?
17th's free.
17th?
Thursday.
That's free?
But that's a week from
tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm
sorry. I have COIC that evening.
Can we do it on Tuesday? The bids are due at 5 o'clock this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming Luana can compile the bids and put out a summary Friday evening and get it to us sometime Friday evening so that you have the weekend and all of Monday to review and consider it, could we schedule a special meeting on Tuesday?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that Tuesday is not the 15th?
That would be the 15th.
And that's not, there's no time conflict with you on that?
Well, I'm assuming we're going to have it during the day or something like that, like we did with the lighting project. Isn't that what you had suggested? Whatever time works for you, I'll make it work for me.
Oh, okay. I thought we were still discussing moving our entire... We're back to discussing moving our entire regular meeting to another day.
No, this is just the snow
just
removal.
Just snow removal.
Special meeting.
Special meeting.
Special meeting.
Just on the snow removal contracts.
Okay. And then
that way we don't have to wait another week and a half.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at. If we're doing that, would it be possible to just move our entire meeting to another day?
And that's up to you.
That same day, too. But we're talking about a Tuesday.
But that's okay. I mean, for me, it's fine. That Tuesday's fine.
That Tuesday's fine?
Yeah, it's every other Tuesday, just like...
Okay.
So it's the second and fourth Tuesday that you're tied up.
You got it.
Okay.
So that's a free Tuesday for
me. Good. 15th. We'll just tie up every Tuesday Jeremy has. Or see to it that they're tied up. Tuesday the 15th.
For the snow removal or for the whole?
For council. To move a regular council meeting and to include the snow removal policy.
From the 22nd to the 15th.
To the 15th.
At what time?
5 and 6.
5 and 6.
5 o'clock. We do them both at the same time and nothing on the 22nd.
Oh, that works out great.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll need a break.
And it's imperative to get the change out immediately on the website.
Okay.
And tomorrow's Thursday, get those notices out to the Frontier and the kind of Wise Buyer.
That's all I was going to ask.
Because
yeah. You're really up to
it. I know. First thing in the morning. Jump on it and get those.
You may even want to call some of the people that you know will be in particular. I'm particularly interested in attending those meetings.
Phone call.
Yeah.
And I would suggest, you know, going ahead and emailing all of your email lists and let them know there's a meeting change and the agenda will be coming out. Oh boy, busy rest of the week for staff. Very busy. Wow.
Good changes.
Mm-hmm. Is that going to be putting too much on you?
We'll do it.
Okay.
Again, you don't have to.
And see, the room is held up till 5:30.
No, we're looking at the 15th.
15th.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
You can avoid the issue with the timing as far as the regular session by just keeping the regular session on the 22nd and having the 15th devoted only to the snow removal contract. So, if there is concern about that, you can leave the status quo. Do you follow me?
Right, absolutely. What we were trying to do was look for a day that we were assured that you could be with us for a regular session. And you said that we didn't absolutely have that assurance on the 22nd, you would try to be here.
But we didn't need him.
I'll promise you I'll be here on the 22nd. I'll make it happen if that's the holdup. So don't be, in other words, I don't want me to be the reason why you're making schedule changes.
Just moved everything to the 15th.
That's too many meetings if we're going to do both of those. Let's just do it on the 15th.
Do everything on the 15th? Luana has already said staff can get it together.
Yes, let's do it all on the 15th. Okay.
We've got a pretty good agenda out before the next council meeting.
We'll move through it.
Okay. We'll need to push the agenda out tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So I can cancel the 22nd?
For this one?
Yeah, cancel the 22nd.
Okay.
All on the 15th at 5 o'clock.
5 and 6.
Okay. Is that the final? Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
So no pestering staff tomorrow. They have a lot of work to do.
I'm going
to
land on your calendar.
We're ready for it.
All right. So we'll quickly move on. We're all clear on that?
Yes.
We're doing? All right. We will quickly move on to 11B, balance sheet that was carried over from 5B2, consent agenda. There we go. And who requested to have that moved over? Adele? All right.
Okay, so we're looking at two columns here. So what is that right-hand column that says budget? Is that the 12-month or 6-month budget?
That is budget to date. So there is the July through November. The budget in the program is on most of the items is the budget, the yearly budget amount divided by 12. For instance, if we have monthly... checks coming in from motel cash. This is what has come in so far in the first column, and this is according to what was budgeted should have been here. So when we show more than what's budgeted, that's a good thing.
I'm sorry. Say it again. We're talking about the budget column, the one that's labeled budget.
Right.
Okay.
It's from July till November, to the end of November, monthly.
Yes,
is she talking about?
Yes. This is an extremely this is an extremely difficult thing to read.
It is.
Because it's not an actual real dollar number calculated for the entire year. This is our budget up to November 1st, from July to November 1st. There's monies coming into the budget that won't come in again until next month, because not all money comes at the same time, and not all expenses go out at the same time. This is a running total, and it's very difficult to figure out.
I do have some budget experience, and I don't know what you're talking about here.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Okay, we took the budget. Okay, it's for the year. In the program, you budgeted out.
Wait,
you don't have to listen to me. I can't explain it.
I'm trying to give you something that might be a little bit easier to accomplish. Is that, all I want to know is what percentage of the budget it has been used to date. So if you could provide that, that would be, that's all I need to know.
That can be provided by the program, but that makes it even more confusing because it's in a positive form and it's in a negative form. The reason it's in positive form and in a negative form is because some of it is income, some of it's expenses. But I do believe there is a percent column that we can put in. We only did this for ease of understanding, and evidently that didn't work. Sorry.
This is a little difficult to understand. Is there a way that you can put on this, how do I say it, from July to November 9th, what percentage of the total budget have we used?
Yes. Of the full budget?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
We budgeted $500,000, and can you put on there that up until November we've used 40%?
Yes.
Can you do that?
Yes, we can.
That would make it a lot easier.
Okay.
Yes.
We used to do it that way, but it was very, very confusing.
Okay, give us a percentage. Yes.
Okay.
Let's just do it again and see how this particular council likes.
Give us a percentage number. That's all we need to know. At the end of November, if it says that we've already used 75% of our budget, then we know we're in a real problem. Mm-hmm.
Right. All right.
We need to know that.
People, we need to move on.
Thank you.
We know what we want here. And we'll try it differently next time. Next few times around. So that said, and we're going to do it in a different format.
Okay.
For next time.
Okay.
And thank you for bringing that up, because everyone likes things in a different way. We have different people on the council at different times. Are you then ready to approve this? The information's there. It might not be. I understood it, but I've been looking at these for a long time, and so I knew what it meant when I saw it.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Council Ward, are you ready to approve?
Yes, we might as well. We have change.
As presented?
So next meeting we'll have percentages?
Right, have percentages instead of...
Yeah, that'll be easier.
That's
simple-minded people.
12 months,
Can I ask one quick question for clarification?
Yes.
Do you still want the budget amount in there?
Or just one second.
Okay.
All you have to do is put a percentage number in the next column over.
Okay.
It's easy.
And have the full year, but okay.
Yeah. All right. Council, I will entertain a motion to approve the balance sheet as presented.
I so move.
I second it.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Wood, yes.
Councilor Moynihan, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously.
All right, you need council.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to vote yes on something I know nothing about.
True. Okay, so you abstain. Yes, and that's not, we've had councilors do that before. I'm new councilors, so. I appreciate that. Thank you, and I'm sorry I overlooked you.
It's fine.
I'm just in regular mode here.
So, all right. Oh boy, public comments. Let me make sure I've got where I need to be. Public comments for items not on the agenda, and I'm not going to do my waffling like I've done in the past. I'm going to stick very strictly to this. This is public comment only. There'll be no questions asked by the audience or by council of anyone who makes a comment. It specifically says public comment. That's what we want to do, is hear your comments. I'm going to give them to 2 minutes per person this time, please. I will be watching the clock, and I would like for everyone to please remember that public comment only. If you have a question, what I've been thinking back, a lot of the questions can be answered by staff. We don't have to take up council and attorney time. So, when you have questions, either call staff during business day. If they can't answer your questions, then they will refer them to council, and they'll have an answer for you. So, public comment. Anyone have anything to say? 2 minutes or less, please. One round per person. Yes. State your name and address, please.
Judy Forsythe, 52343 Ammon Road. Although I brought these in the form of questions, I will attempt to do it the other way.
Thank you.
I would appreciate hearing, perhaps in the next meeting, whether or not there have been any applications received for a city manager's position, and if so, what happened to those applications? One. Two, I would like to hear a report on where the city is regarding the MOU between the city, the county, ODOT, and LIGI in regards to the intersection at Highway 97 Reed Road First Street. Please. And I'll stop there for tonight.
Oh, okay, and thank you. I really appreciate respecting that for us. Anyone else? State your name and address, please.
Sure. Vicki Jackson. I live at 17346 Mean Court Bend. I'm a resident and I'm a real estate broker. I'd like to bring up the matter of my public records request dated November 18th for the September attorney invoice for $12,939.50. At the last November 24th general meeting, my request was brought up and Attorney Green stated that it was client information and that if I wanted to have the attorney redact the information, it would be $100. So then on November 23rd, I revised my November 18th request into three categories. Basically, I wanted the attorney cost spent on projects, meetings, and communications with the city, hoping I could get these three items extracted from the invoice. On December 8th, I got an email advising me that it would cost $50 for that invoice, which I approved. I'm very concerned about how much the city is spending on attorney fees. I'm also concerned about the manner in which my request has been handled, as it appears that the city has been stalling. I would like to bring up the matter of accessibility for the public to listen to tapes on public meetings. I had requested for the 2007 tapes to listen to, and on December 4th and 7th, I was able to listen to the 2007 tapes. But my request for the 2009 tapes, I was told that I would have to listen to them during the time when the city recorder's in the office, not city business hours. Another issue I have a question on, and I know you're not going to answer it, is the contract that was signed in 2007. I know that the city said there's no contract that was signed. However, it was referenced in the RFP that Bryant, Loveland, and Jarvis had submitted. It was also on two council meeting minutes, February 6th and February, the 13th, sorry. Also, Stu Martinez had stated on the tapes that he had entered into a contract. So I'd like to see if there's any way that the city can try to find that contract.
And as far as records requests, I did call the city manager, and I do have their records policy, which the city recorder faxed to me. And she said basically if somebody comes in the office, they try to give them the records. If it's something simple, right on the spot. If it's something that needs some time, then they have to fill out the records request, and they get it to them as soon as possible. So I'd be happy to give that to you if you'd like. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And staff is continuing to address the concerns. It's an ongoing thing. All right, anyone else? Okay, we will move on to staff comments. Go ahead and start with Patty.
No, I just want to announce that Tony was in and worked quite a bit today getting the info at added onto the email system. And so I don't know if Juan was going to discuss that or not, but I'll just say that.
Okay. Jeremy?
No comments.
Juan?
Just real quick notification, Bureau of Land Management called today and advises that they will be burning slash off of Burgess Road next week if the weather permits. And it's on 100 acres. So,
okay.
Don't call the fire department. Don't call us, but just to let everybody know that before I ask, that's what's going on.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay, council comments.
I was unable to attend the Lady meeting 2 days ago or yesterday as I was waiting for the plumber to come so I could drain the water out of the house. So I have no comments that I can make.
All right. Councilman Lennon.
No comments.
Councilor Hedges.
I have some questions. Is this a good time to comment? I was not notified about the staff meeting this week, and I would prefer to have a phone call, or I've had no emails or anything, and I did request to be notified about those. I would also like at a work session or another council meeting to redo the job description for Luana. There were too many discrepancies. And I would like to find out if you got a cell phone.
Not yet. We have the information.
Who is it from?
It's Verizon. They submitted a contract and I gave it to Luana the other day. I don't know what's going on with it.
Okay, so it's coming up. Has any work been done on the inventory for the office?
It was my understanding that an inventory needs to be done on items that are of value, right?
No.
Of a certain value?
They can be anything. Anything that is in the office.
We can do that.
Because last time I asked about it, I was told that you were working on it with the bookkeeper. And I think it's important that we have an inventory of equipment. We're getting too big.
Of the equipment?
Of everything.
All right. Can we incorporate this into our policy?
Yes.
Discussions when we're doing that?
Yeah. And also, last week when I asked about other people bidding on the computer work, or who was asked, could we get the names of those people that you asked and what the response was?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, and I'd like to, I talked with Councilor Hedges earlier, and I believe the problem was in getting emails. I understand you did send her an email.
I did send an email as soon as we knew that was going to happen, and then at 8 o'clock that night, I resent it.
I haven't received anything.
Because I hadn't heard anything from you, so I resent it again.
And we were talking about that, and Counselor Hedges says that she's been having trouble getting her emails.
Okay, is this something then that Tony needs to be aware of? Did you ever get back into your system today?
Yes, and there were no emails in there at all.
Okay. But remember, I didn't get yours last the other day. They weren't getting
it. Right.
So something's going on.
But the easy answer to that that we discussed earlier was, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Counselor Hedges, but I believe that Counselor Hedges would now like to make the ongoing request that she get notified by phone.
Sure.
You can always leave a message on the answering machine.
Okay. We'll do that.
All right. Finished? All right. I had a question. It occurred to me that the Attorney General's handbook is January 2008. Don't those get updated every 2 years? And
should be a new one coming out
next year.
A city tries to keep council supplied, council and staff supplied. Those, yes. So would you please get the order in for new handbook?
Yes. Yeah,
if they're doing
the right year. If they still got them for 2008, we've got a couple still left.
Right, but in 2010's coming up.
Well, generally they'll update them if in fact there are changes to the public records law or the public meetings law.
Okay, would you check on that?
Okay.
And I understand they're going to be going online, that the Attorney General really, really wants that. Yeah. But of course that's a huge download and printout, so...
Hmm.
I think it's best to keep track of that, and every time a new version comes out, it's real handy for staff and council to have those. Okay, I won't keep anyone much longer. I did go to the Water and Sewer District meetings. At each of those meetings, they appointed a member for the Water and Sewer Committee that we formed. Each district did that. And then, of course, just the ongoing business stuff that I won't bore you with. And an interesting thing that happened in some casual discussion with two of the board members, who are, each of them is a board member on both districts. Anyway, I forget exactly how this came up, but, I do remember how it came up. The one of them was one of our counselor candidates who just recently dropped out, and so I asked him why, and I'm paraphrasing here because I can't remember his exact words, but pretty much was saying that he was afraid that he would get too upset and probably say some inappropriate things because it seems like we have all people living outside the city limits who want to run the city. And he said, I don't know exactly how to say that, but anyway, he said that they need to leave us alone and let the people inside the city run the city. And I said, then come to our meetings. Say that. You live inside the city, obviously, but you won't be on, wouldn't be on these boards. And then the other board member who is also on both of those boards, he chimed in and said the same thing, that he's sick and tired of people who don't live within the city limits, always there telling us how to run the city. So I told him the same thing. Come to our meetings, and you tell us how we want to run the city, but they're not here. So I don't know what that says. I assume that the people who live within the city limits are the ones who are actually voting on what we do have no complaints, because that seems to be when people show up is when they have complaints. My personal assumption. But anyway, I wanted to pass that along, that, that I heard those comments. And unfortunately, I do hear those from a lot of people, but then they don't show up at the meetings. So... maybe you can get people inside the city to volunteer to come to the meetings and give their opinions to us.
I would like to make a comment, though.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to getting back and going to work as soon as I get back. And in regard to the request for an inventory, if the reporter would like, I'd be very happy to come down and assist and do anything I could and put it on any form that you'd like.
That might be a good way to start, see what goes on in this little city hall.
That's my idea, to find out what goes on.
Well, thank you.
I would be happy to help, too, having been in charge of inventory before.
But I didn't know that counselors could volunteer.
They can volunteer, sure.
That's what we're doing all the time.
You're just helping out.
And did you have any other comments?
That's it. I'm just looking forward to getting back going to work.
All right. We're looking forward to having you back. So, with that, I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
I shall move. I'll be back
there.
You're stealing my thunder.
I second. That's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please. Let's start over here.
Councilman Brown, yes.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Moynihan, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion is adjourned at 8:03 p.m. Thank you, everyone.